His name was Medgar Evers, and he walked his road alone, like Emmett Till and thousands more whose names we'll never know. They tried to burn his home and they beat him to the ground, but deep inside they both knew what it took to bring him down. Too many martyrs and too many deaths, too many lies, too many empty words were said, too many times for too many angry men. Oh, let it never be again. The killer waited by his home, hidden by the night, as Evers stepped out from his car into the rifle sight. He slowly squeezed the trigger, the bullet left his side. It struck the heart of every man when Evers fell and died. Too many martyrs and too many deaths, too many lies, too many empty words were said, too many times for too many angry men.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Yesterday, the California Nurses Association filed a lawsuit against Arnold Schwarzenegger. The governor suspended a new nurse-to-patient staffing requirement set to take effect next week. The lawsuit claims Schwarzenegger illegally overstepped his authority by issuing an emergency block on a state legislature bill passed in 1999 mandating a 1-to-5 nurse-to-patient ratio. Charles Idelson is a spokesperson for the CNA.
They did that order at the specific request of the state's multi-billion-dollar hospital industry and ignored all of the evidence that is already in that having safe care in hospitals reduces patient deaths, hospital infections, hospital injuries, and helps erode the nursing shortage.
On December 7th, Schwarzenegger called the nurses, quote, special interests, whom he said, quote, don't like me in Sacramento because I kick their butt.
AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says as 2004 draws to a close, working families are being squeezed as never before, losing good jobs, pensions, and health insurance. AFL-CIO has joined a coalition to save Social Security to make sure working families don't lose the one thing they've been guaranteed. Sweeney says President Bush wants to divert 1/6 of Social Security revenues into Wall Street in his privatization plan. Walmart has snagged Grinch of the Year in a national online poll by Jobs with Justice. The labor group says Walmart deserves its title of Grinch of the Year for paying very low wages, creating barriers to health care for its workers, and other transgressions. Jobs with Justice says Walmart has also admitted routinely locking overnight workers in its stores and was sued this year in the largest sex discrimination suit in history, a class action on behalf of roughly 1.6 million current and former employees. The national poll was held December 6th through the 22nd by Jobs with Justice. Over 1,000 workers have decided to join the Teamsters in several organizing victories. 502 drivers at Laidlaw Transit Services elected Teamster representation in Orange County, California. In Illinois, 420 workers at the Berwyn Juvenile Temporary Detention Center also voted to join the Teamsters. Another 60 workers at Allied Waste, BFI, in Mobile, Alabama, and 50 drivers and dock workers in Richmond, Virginia, also joined the Teamster ranks.
Here's today's Workers' Independent News Dow Bob Report. Why is President Bush claiming the Social Security sky is falling? Bush is pushing to privatize Social Security, but according to the Campaign for America's Future, privatization would drain the current trust fund, cut benefits workers receive, and give early retirees less than they get now. Social Security is solvent until the year 2042, according to its trustees, or the year 2052, according to the General Accounting Office. After that, there's still expected to be money left to pay the nation 75% of their benefits.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
While the economic numbers for the vast majority of Americans continue to be bad, there is one little noticed group that is showing remarkable growth. Poor people. In America, the richest country in the history of the world, the poverty rolls are rising dramatically and shamefully. The number of poor people is up by 4.8 million in the last 4 years. That's just the officially poor. There are another 39 million people who are now among the working poor. While technically not in poverty, their jobs pay so poorly that they can't make ends meet for the basics in life. Unfortunately, these folks are mostly out of sight and out of mind. The mass media ignores them, and we just had a presidential election that supposedly was about moral values, yet neither party even mentioned the immorality of rising poverty in the midst of plenty. Worse, the Bushites are now going after the few effective efforts we are still making to address poverty, from education to retirement security. Much of the monkey wrenching being done by Bush and company takes place in the dark, quietly trying to dismantle popular programs that actually work. For example, the Community Reinvestment Act has been a solid success in helping low-income communities get the investments and bank services they must have to revitalize their neighborhoods. This 30-year-old law has caused banks all across America to serve low-income people, channeling more than $1 trillion into loans for small business development and home ownership in inner cities and distressed rural towns. Yet, Bush's laissez-faire ideologues are working hard to gut the law. Two federal agencies charged with enforcing it are proposing to exempt at least 1,000 banks, as well as many S&L lenders, from having to comply, thus abandoning entire communities most in need of opportunities. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop this assault, call ACORN, 202-547-2500.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add them to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got Geico. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. Online at geico.com.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Yep. Welcome. And every time Rush Limbaugh hears that theme music, he ups his meds, right? Welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Yeah, that's me with you here, broadcasting live on radio stations from coast to coast. Literally from West Virginia to California and Oregon. Beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system. Streaming around the planet at radiopower.org. I just got off the most amazing conference call. It's probably still going on. I had to get off because I had to just put together the show here in the last 5 minutes. I just dropped off at maybe 8 or 10 minutes ago. But it was a press conference, that Jesse Jackson Jr., the member of Congress, and his father, and a couple of lawyers from Ohio, and a few other folks were on. And there were a bunch of people from the media on there. And it was enough to curl your toes. The stories that they were telling. And there were actually a couple of people on the conference call who were telling their own stories. One guy who had he lived in a predominantly Democratic district where he'd lived there from years and years and years, where he always voted. This was in Ohio, where he always voted, was less than a half a mile away For this election, Ken Blackwell decided that his precinct would be many miles away. And he had spent half a day trying to figure out where it was. In other cases, again, in predominantly Democratic areas, Blackwell consolidated. They closed down some precincts and consolidated them. And here's the little trick they played. They would have three precincts. Say you're registered to vote, and they say, okay, you're in precinct number 17, which usually is down at the firehouse. But now we've closed that, so now you're still in precinct number, what did I say it was, 17? You're still in precinct number 17, but now it's at the gymnasium of the high school that's over here, wherever it is. Well, you go to the gymnasium of the school, and there's a line there, a 10-hour line. You get in the line, you wait in the line, and get all the way. Finally, you get all the way up to the front, and you discover that they've consolidated three different precincts into this one school. And somewhere as you get inside the building, it breaks into three lines, and you just figure, okay, three lines, they're trying to, you know, it's like there must be three different voting machines or something, so you just get in a line. There were no signs. And so you get up to the front of the line, or at least this guy, you know, this one person was reporting. You get up to the front and say, I'm here to vote in precinct 17, and they say, well, this is the precinct 12 line. You can't vote here. You've got to be over there in that line for precinct 17. And they say, well, great, can I just walk over there to that table? No, you got to go all the way to the back and wait another 10 hours in line. I kid you not. This being done in the Democratic districts. While at the same time, voting machines were sitting in the warehouse not being used, the number of machines available in many of the Democratic districts was actually reduced over what were available in the 2000 and 2002 elections, and increased in the Republican districts. So in the predominantly Republican districts, people, you know, they'd show up, vote in half an hour, and they're out of there. They have also found what they think is pretty solid evidence that in many of these Democratic districts where they were using punch cards, there was this incredible amount of spoilage. Now, spoilage is when, you know, there's something wrong with the card. And there was one particular unique type of spoilage that they found in a number of precincts. And this was where somebody voted both for John Kerry and for George Bush for president. Now, of course, somebody votes for both of them for president. You're not going to count that. I mean, it just makes sense. It's called an overvote. And you just don't count it. You throw it away. You set it aside or whatever. It doesn't get counted. Well, in these couple of precincts or districts or whatever they were, I should have recorded this thing. We were so close, right up against the edge of the show that I couldn't get it together to record the thing. But the information will be in the news as the day goes on, and we'll give you more details on it tomorrow. But anyhow, as they looked at these, they noticed that there were just these particular places, these particular counties or precincts or wards or whatever it was, where there was this overvote, where there was a whole bunch of people. I mean, you know, lots and lots of people who voted both for Kerry and for Bush. And then in some of those areas, they had reports from people who were a little bit savvy to how punch cards worked, who told them that when they showed up to vote, of course, you're handed a punch card, and you go into the booth, and you slide it into the envelope, and then the holes, you know, line up, and you turn the pages, and it lines up holes with the punchable parts of the punch card. And the person said one of the little holes in the punch card that was handed to them had already been punched out. They had no idea what it was, because when you're handed a punch card, it's just a card with a whole bunch of little, you know, it's like those, I don't know if I remember when I was a little kid, we'd get these 12 days of Christmas things, you know, these little artwork thing where you open every day you open the little paper, you know, I'm forgetting what it's called. Apparently it's a big Catholic thing. I grew up Protestant, so in any case, it's sort of like that. You have no idea what those little holes are. They're not labeled. It doesn't make sense until you drop it into the envelope where you can't see it and you're looking at the pages. So anyhow, they got a ballot. They got a punch card, and there was a hole already punched in it. And, you know, one of these people said, oh, well, you know, what's the deal with this? Well, you know, it's nothing to worry about. It's just an alignment thing, a calibration thing, whatever. Turns out it was the George W. Bush hole that was punched. So they put the card in. They vote for John Kerry by punching the other hole right next to it, not realizing that they're doing that because it's in the envelope and they can't see it. Pull the thing out when they're all done. Now there's holes punched all over the place. They have no clue. They turn it in. Gets run through the scanner. Hey, it's an overvote. There's a vote for Kerry and for Bush on here. We've got to throw this one away. This is criminal fraud. Criminal fraud. This is worthy. This is our electile dysfunction report for the day. Yeah. And it goes on and on and on. Bob Petrakis, one of the folks on this conference call, he says, as Republican officials stonewall this from the Free Press of Columbus, Ohio, as Republicans officials stonewall subpoenas and subvert the recount process, Reverend Jesse Jackson has pronounced Ohio's vote fraud fiasco, quote, the biggest deal since Selma, and has called for a national rally at the scene of the crime in Columbus on January 3rd. Are you noting January 3rd? That would be next week, as I recall. Another major national demonstration will follow in Washington on January 6th as Congress evaluates the Electoral College. Should at least one U.S. representative and one senator challenge the electors' votes, a constitutional crisis could ensue. There is an enormous effort underway right now to find one senator who will say, yes, I'm going to challenge this. Apparently, Barbara Boxer has turned it down. This is from the latest email I got. I'm on these email lists of these folks who are working on this stuff. And I can't confirm that. I haven't talked with her office. But from what they say, she was lobbied very heavily, and she said, no, she's not going to put her neck out that far. Sorry. John Kerry won't do it. It would appear self-serving and probably hurt his chances for 2008. John Edwards apparently has indicated he's not willing to do it. There's a lot of folks hoping that Robert Byrd would. Robert Byrd is an extraordinary truth teller, a fearless truth teller. Remember before we invaded Iraq when he got up on the floor of the Senate and gave that speech and basically predicted exactly what's going on right now, plus pointed out that it was wrong, that it was illegal, that it shouldn't be done. Anyhow, so there's people asking for Robert Byrd to do that. And let's just wait until these investigations have happened. And we've seen, as you heard in the second hour of the program yesterday, where we had on Lowell, I'm forgetting Lowell's last name. Anyhow, the attorney who's in New Mexico right now. And they're finding just incredible evidence of vote fraud in New Mexico. And the evidence that is coming out of Florida, the evidence coming out of Ohio. And what's amazing about this, and this is the thing that, you know, I mean, you do expect there to be vote fraud. You do expect there to be mistakes. Occasionally you get some local election Yahoo official, you know, some local official who's going to play with the numbers. It happens. We're human beings. But you would figure that, you know, occasionally it's good and machines break down and people forget to you know, bring the ballots in or whatever. You know, maybe those ballots in Washington State just really got misplaced, that 700-and-odd ballots in King County that the state Supreme Court just said, if people voted, you're going to count them. Republicans are not at all happy with this, by the way. But you would expect them to be the mistakes. And even the you know, done on the ground kind of fraud at the lowest level, where just some individual decides to take it upon themselves, you would expect them to be pretty equally distributed between the two political parties, the two major parties. If it's a matter of we're all just humans here, or we've got some broken machines, but as Jesse Jackson Jr. pointed out in this press conference this morning, this conference call, virtually all of the mistakes that they've found, all of them, have worked to the benefit of Bush and to the detriment of Kerry, which again implies that there's something rather substantial going on here. You know, I have to say, 2 weeks ago, I really did not believe that I would be saying this on the air 2 weeks from then, today. And yet the evidence is just piling up. It is just absolutely quite incredible. On December 21st, notice of depositions were sent to George Bush, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, and Ken Blackwell, the Secretary of State of Ohio, to appear and give testimony under oath regarding the legal challenge of Ohio's election results in the case of Moss versus Bush et al. Blackwell says no, he will not testify under oath. He's going to refuse to testify under oath, the Secretary of State of Ohio, in a lawsuit filed in Ohio. He says, no, I will not take that oath. I will not swear to tell the truth and then testify. We'll see. We will see. And who said this? Let's see. Jesse Jackson says, so we cannot let the Republicans get away with this. Do not underestimate the outrage of the people. We are a legitimate force for democracy here and around the world. We will count every vote and make sure every vote counts. And right along those lines, we've got another Ohio report here for you. And some thoughts from Paul Weyrich on this. I'll share with you right after this break. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, your minimum daily adult requirement of sanity. Stick around. We'll be right back.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
This year, give a Christmas gift of inner peace, mental health, and transformation in the form of a fun, beautiful game you play with your body and brain based on meditation, breathing, and biofeedback. Go to opednews.com to click on the Wild Divine banner to order the game that Yoga Journal says turns the quest for calm into entertainment. In most games, you find weapons. With Wild Divine, you connect your computer to your body and play the game with your mind, heart, and breath. So you find new abilities and awareness truly within yourself that you use to win the game and then apply in your real life. PC Magazine says Wild Divine is innovative and fun, and even better, it's very effective. And they give it 5 stars. It's shipped with both Windows and Mac software.
The Wild Divine game is a great Christmas gift that will make a real difference in a person's life. Go to opednews.com now and click on the Wild Divine banner to order it in time for Christmas. That's opednews.com. If you sell a product or service, we have listeners from coast to coast and in 97 countries who want to know about you. Reach out to our national audience with our small business advertising package. You'll pay just a fraction of what national advertising usually costs. Call now at 802-229-2288 or visit our website, tomhartman.com, and follow the links to the small business advertising package for more information. Don't miss reaching a national audience now. 802-229-2288. Do you have a child with ADHD who is misunderstood, unhappy, and dissatisfied with school? Are you ready for an educational change and for your child to like school again? Consider The Hunter School, a residential K-8 school specializing in the education of children with ADHD, hunters in a farmer's world. Hunter School appreciates and honors the uniqueness of each student while building upon his inherent strengths and abilities. For more information, find us on the web at hunterschool.org.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza man.
Hey, you're not the pizza man. You're the cable guy. Again.
Price patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-505-1546. That's 800-505-1546. For new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now. 800-505-1546.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, and that's what we're looking for in Ohio, is the truth. What is the truth? What really happened? What's going on there? Paul Weyrich, by the way, is he's the guy who in the 70s and the 80s, throughout the 80s, let's say, particularly the early 80s, he was to Ronald Reagan what Joe Trippi was to Howard Dean. What Joe Trippi did for Howard Dean with the Internet, bringing hundreds of thousands of people in, Paul Weyrich did with Ronald Reagan with direct mail. And a very powerful and effective Republican conservative, let's say, activist, political activist, and sort of political guru. And keep in mind, these folks, these conservatives, who believe that corporations should basically be running America, that we the people, that things like Social Security are and Medicare are actually socialism, communism, they're terrible things, that they need to be, you know, turned over to private corporations, privatized, who are working for this, what I call fascistic agenda, this corporatist agenda anyway. And doing so out of a sincere belief that it's the best thing. I'm convinced they really think it's the best thing. And, you know, they're wrong, in my opinion, strongly wrong. But nonetheless, that's what they're operating out of. They are in a minority. The majority of Americans want strong environmental protections. The majority of Americans want to have their vote counted. The majority of Americans want to have corporations be held to account so that they have to play the game of business by the rules, by, you know, rules that keep it honest and that benefit all of us, ultimately. The majority of Americans would like national health care. The majority of Americans like Social Security. The majority of Americans are just pleased. It's fine to pay taxes as long as they're getting something for that our schools are working, that our roads don't have potholes. We don't have any problem paying taxes. That's the majority of Americans. So you've got this right-wing minority fringe, and they realize that they are a minority fringe. So how do they gain power? Well, here's Paul Weyrich on it.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call...
Let me start this over and just say, he's speaking, by the way, before a Christian group. He's also very active in these realms, and so he's speaking before a Christian group in this context.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the participation of the populace in the elections goes down. 1-866-889-8894. Ed in California on the line. Hey, Ed, what's in your mind?
Hey, Tom. Well, a couple of questions. First of all, you know, I listen to you, and I get, you know, I'm more of a in-your-face type of person, and I'm trying to listen to you, understanding your viewpoint as, you know, like a nice person. What do we do about these election things? Do we perhaps set up a zone of free speech in a city so that we can go there and be...
I think, you know, speaking as a nice person, Ed, I think we need to be absolutely raising hell. Contacting your local newspapers, contacting your radio and television stations, calling into talk shows, turning this thing into a news story, saying how dare you ignore what John Conyers is doing, what these folks are doing in Ohio. Let's look at this. If the Republicans can get away with this kind of vote fraud, then the Democrats could get away with it if they were in power. We don't want either party to be able to get away with it. Nobody should be getting away with it. We want this election to be cleaned up. Contact your elected representatives. Call Congress, your members of Congress and your senators. The number for Congress is 202-224-3121. That's a beginning. And then January 3rd, January 6th, the demonstration's planned. Get out there. Get a sign. Stand in front of your city hall.
From Ukraine?
Yeah, absolutely. The difference between the Ukraine and here is that in the Ukraine, they were ready for this. They were expecting it. And by the way, the difference between the exit polls and the actual results in the Ukraine were 1 point different than the exit polls and the results here. But they were ready for it. They had prepared, and we hadn't. That's the difference. Thanks, Ed. 29 minutes past the hour.
Mom, I can't believe you asked Rick all those questions. Where do you live, and who are your parents? It's so embarrassing.
Getting to know your kid's friends isn't easy. But if you don't, he's more likely to do drugs.
Geez, you have to know everything?
Actually, Sean, I do. Do it. It'll always be worth it. Parents, the anti-drug. To learn more, call 1-800-788-2800 or visit theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for Drug-Free America.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Yesterday, the California Nurses Association filed a lawsuit against Arnold Schwarzenegger. The governor suspended a new nurse-to-patient staffing requirement set to take effect next week. The lawsuit claims Schwarzenegger illegally overstepped his authority by issuing an emergency block on a state legislature bill passed in 1999 mandating a 1-to-5 nurse-to-patient ratio. Charles Idelson is a spokesperson for the CNA.
They did that order at the specific request of the state's multi-billion-dollar hospital industry and ignored all of the evidence that is already in that having safe care in hospitals reduces patient deaths, hospital infections, hospital injuries, and helps erode the nursing shortage.
On December 7th, Schwarzenegger called the nurses, quote, special interests, whom he said, quote, don't like me in Sacramento because I kick their butt.
AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says as 2004 draws to a close, working families are being squeezed as never before, losing good jobs, pensions, and health insurance. AFL-CIO has joined a coalition to save Social Security to make sure working families don't lose the one thing they've been guaranteed. Sweeney says President Bush wants to divert 1/6 of Social Security revenues into Wall Street in his privatization plan. Walmart has snagged Grinch of the Year in a national online poll by Jobs with Justice. The labor group says Walmart deserves its title of Grinch of the Year for paying very low wages, creating barriers to health care for its workers, and other transgressions. Jobs with Justice says Walmart has also admitted routinely locking overnight workers in its stores and was sued this year in the largest sex discrimination suit in history, a class action on behalf of roughly 1.6 million current and former employees. The national poll was held December 6th through the 22nd by Jobs with Justice. Over 1,000 workers have decided to join the Teamsters in several organizing victories. 502 drivers at Laidlaw Transit Services elected Teamster representation in Orange County, California. In Illinois, 420 workers at the Berwyn Juvenile Temporary Detention Center also voted to join the Teamsters. Another 60 workers at Allied Waste, BFI, in Mobile, Alabama, and 50 drivers and dock workers in Richmond, Virginia, also joined the Teamster ranks.
Here's today's Workers' Independent News Dow Bob Report. Why is President Bush claiming the Social Security sky is falling? Bush is pushing to privatize Social Security, but according to the Campaign for America's Future, privatization would drain the current trust fund, cut benefits workers receive, and give early retirees less than they get now. Social Security is solvent until the year 2042, according to its trustees, or the year 2052, according to the General Accounting Office. After that, there's still expected to be money left to pay the nation 75% of their benefits.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
When sundown pales the sky, I want to hide a while behind your smile, and everywhere I'd look, your eyes would find.
And welcome back, my friends. Our quote for the day from Dag Hammarskjöld. Those of you who are not of my age or older may not remember him. Dag Hammarskjöld was the Secretary General of the United Nations, the position that Kofi Annan holds right now. And as I recall, it was 1963, but I may be wrong. But anyhow, it was back then, back in the 60s. He was flying into Angola in Africa to try and negotiate peace, and his plane was shot down, or I'm not sure to this day that they know what happened exactly. But anyhow, the plane went down and he died. And his personal diary, not an autobiography, but his personal diary, in which he talks very candidly. I really think it's one of those. He's one of those folks who kept it for himself, not like, you know, the Madison Jefferson letters, where they both were keeping copies of these letters, figuring, you know, history's going to read these, and so they're trying to portray themselves in the very best light and all that. But Dag Hammarskjöld's diary, which I believe he was just writing to himself, is one of the most extraordinary things in print. 6-7 years ago, well, it must have been longer than that now. This is when I ran the advertising agency in Atlanta, Chandler McDonald Stout Steinerman & Poe, Inc. We gave away, I bought 200 copies of his diary. It's called Markings, Markings by Dag Hammarskjöld. And sent them out to all of our customers, all of our vendors, everybody, as a holiday gift, as a Christmas, Hanukkah, you know, whatever gift. Because it had so moved me. I had been teaching a seminar first week of December in New Mexico, as I recall. This about a decade ago, and I was, you know, all alone in a hotel, and I was sitting down there, and the building, it was one of those buildings that's like, you know, an old log cabin, kind of only a real upscale one, but it was a hotel, you know, but it was very rustic. And sitting by a fire with Christmas decorations all around me, and I'm reading Dag Hammarskjöld's diary, and he's talking about his hope that peace can be made between Nixon and Khrushchev and the problems that he was having with them and their personalities and all this stuff. And in the midst of all this stuff, he's talking about what I can only describe as just absolutely profound spiritual insights into himself, these other people, the nature of life. Not at all religious. I don't think Dag Hammarskjöld was particularly religious. I'm pretty sure he was a Lutheran. But it's not at all like that. It reads more like Meister Eckhart, for those of you who know that, the I believe he's a 16th or 17th century German mystic. Anyhow, it was one of those transformational books. Absolutely, I can't say it changed my life, but it just made my year reading that thing. And so I had to share it with people. And I encourage you, if you're so inclined, to go out and pick up a copy. Markings by Dag Hammarskjöld. Anyhow, our quote for the day from Dag Hammarskjöld: the pursuit of peace and progress cannot end in a few years in either victory or defeat. The pursuit of peace and progress, with its trials and its errors, its successes and its setbacks, can never be relaxed and never abandoned. Boy, is that a thought for our time. Boy, is that a thought for our time. In Ohio, a few county reports here. This is from David Cobb. This was published on Common Dreams yesterday. In Fairfield County, David Cobb is, of course, the Green Party candidate who has been on this program many times. David, a friend of mine, good guy, an attorney out in California. Not just a good guy. David Cobb is one of the world's truly, I mean, just a truly decent human being and a genius on top of it. I have so much respect for David Cobb. And here he is now in Ohio contesting this election. And he wrote this piece for CommonDreams.org yesterday. You can find it. You can go to CommonDreams.org and just scroll down to yesterday's, which is probably, it's at the top of today's. They update it around 4 o'clock every afternoon Eastern time. Anyhow, Fairfield County, he says, when the hand recount of the 3% test sample did not match the official vote totals, a full recount should have been ordered for all county ballots. Now, this is the Ohio law, I believe, that if you test 3% and there's a significant variation, that indicates something was wrong, you recount the whole county. Well, instead, and they did this 3% test sample, and it did not match the official vote tally. In other words, there was something wrong in Fairfield County. What happens? Instead of the recount for the entire county being called, as the statute requires, instead the recount was suspended, in quotes, by county officials who said that Secretary Blackwell recommended that the recount should begin again from scratch. In other words, retest that 3%. The Green recount observers were then told it was 4 p.m., the building was closed, and we all had to leave. The Republican contingent, however, was allowed to stay in a conference room for an additional 10 minutes or so for a private discussion. That, Fairfield County. Summit County, Ohio. Recount witnesses were threatened with expulsion if they spoke to counting teams. In some instances, they were expected to observe from about 20 feet away, despite Ohio election law allowing observers close enough to actually observe. Medina County. Election workers were aware of several problem districts, but instead chose to perform the manual 3% test recount on two precincts that had been part of a school levy recount the previous Monday. That meant that those ballots had been taken out of the standard double lock situation and had been handled several times since Monday. Cuyahoga County. Almost all of the witnesses felt that the ballots were not in random order and that they had been previously sorted. Somebody's been messing with these things in Cuyahoga County. As the ballots were fed into the county machines, there were long runs of votes for only one candidate and then long runs for another, which seems statistically improbable. I would say statistically impossible, but we'll go with David. Huron County, the punch card tabulator test was observed only by Republican witnesses. This test was conducted the day before the Green witness was invited to observe the recount. Henry County, Fulton County, we found that the Triad Company can reprogram voting machines using remote connections. Is this the case for other counties as well? Don't voters have a right to know? We don't know yet. We don't know yet. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Harriet in Seattle, Washington on the line. Hey, Harriet, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom, thanks. I was wondering if you're interested in a bit of a rehash on the Washington voter situation.
Yes, you are there in Washington State.
I am here, yes.
What's the current news? I was getting the updates on the news this morning on NPR, anyhow, so what's the current state?
Well, the latest is that Chris Gregoire leads by 10, and they're...
She being the Democrat.
Yes, she's a Democrat. And the Supreme Court said, okay, go ahead and count the 700 and some odd ballots, or at least look into them and count those that you can.
These being from King County, the predominantly Democratic part of Seattle.
Exactly. That's the whole county's pretty much Democratic. And the issue is right now that 35 out of the 36 counties have already been certified. And there is on the record a statement by Dino Rossi that says he will accept without question the results of the count. He said even if she wins by one point or one vote. He is now going against that as of last night, screaming, no, I won't concede. We're going to go count everything we can. And Chris Vance, who's the state Republican chairman, has gone on television saying, we have hundreds of sworn statements of voters all over the state saying they voted for Rossi and their vote didn't count. And we're going to go back and insist now that all those votes be counted, which sounds really, really questionable to start. start with, plus the issue that all these counties have already been certified.
Yeah. So, and how do they know? I mean, how
they have a bunch of, well, they showed one piece of paper on TV last night saying, you know, this is a sworn statement that I voted and my vote wasn't counted. Well, how do all these people know? I mean, it's just,
right.
How many people just call up and say, did my vote count?
Yeah,
I mean, the whole thing's a ploy. I mean, like, say, Chris Vance, I had a chat with him last year, and he thinks he's one of these appointed ones by you-know-who, same guy who appointed Bush.
Yeah.
And that...
On a mission from God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As such, that he speaks for the entire Republican, all the Republican voters in the state, and that he will decide for them, which is what he told me. He would decide for them who was the best person to vote for.
Hmm.
So, I don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
It's just...
So you said 35 out of the 36 counties in the state have been certified. King County has these 700 ballots that haven't been counted yet. Is King County the 36th one that has not yet been certified?
That's it.
Uh-huh. And so it seems like a slam dunk, but the Republicans are going to try and pull it up. So this is interesting here. Now, in Washington state, we now have the Republicans yelling vote fraud. In Ohio, we've got the Democrats yelling vote fraud. Maybe we can get a consensus that it's time to get a transparent system and fix it.
I think, yeah. Anything that doesn't leave a valid paper trail, I think, needs to go.
Yeah.
The fact that whole thing was rushed through prior to this election is also something that's very questionable.
Oh, yeah. The Help America Vote Act, which was pushed through by the Republicans in 2002 to deliver $3.8 billion to the states to buy machines from mostly the two big Republican-controlled companies. I mean, this is a very, very weird. But beyond that... In just out of curiosity, in the state of Washington, were there paperless machines being used?
I don't honestly know. I know there are punch cards. There are, you know, the mark ballots. There
right.
are ones that you mark and feed through a machine. But I don't know if we had any paperless. I think we did. I could probably check that and let you know.
Okay, just curious. You can drop me a note or let me know in the chat room and I'll pass it along.
Okay.
Great. Well, thanks for the update, Harriet. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. Great.
Thanks for calling. I do appreciate it. 16 minutes before the hour, Stephen Hill and Rob Ritchie on truthout.org have some suggestions. I think these are just very straightforward reforms. And a lot of this comes out of Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr.'s H.J.R. 28 to provide a constitutional right to vote. His suggestion, you know, we should have. See, what most people don't realize, we should have a right to vote. What most people don't realize is that when George Bush sued Al Gore to stop the count of the vote in Florida, because he didn't want in Florida to happen what is happening in Washington state right now, which is where if every vote is counted, you discover that somebody else won than who you thought won. And in fact, that happened, you know, on September 12th, 2001, the day after 9/11, the New York Times, in a front page story, published the fact that they, you know, they were part of this voter consortium. They along with a bunch of other news media, they counted every vote in the state of Florida. Took them 9 months to do it. They counted every vote in the state of Florida and recounted until they were absolutely certain that they had it right. And sure enough, no matter whether you ignored the dimpled chads or counted the dimpled chads, ignored the hanging chads, counted the hanging chads, ignored the ones where somebody had signed it and not signed it, you know, no matter what standard was used, Al Gore got more votes than George Bush and won the state of Florida. The only measure by which Al Gore would have lost the state of Florida, this is the big irony, which was in the headline, the irony of it, was that if you only recounted the four counties that Al Gore had originally asked to be recounted, later he asked for the whole state to be recounted, and that's when Bush sued him. If only those four counties that Gore had originally asked to be recounted were recounted, then Gore would have lost. But if you counted the whole state, Bush would have lost. So, you know, anyhow, in Bush v. Gore, when George Bush hired a trial lawyer and sued Al Gore to stop the vote and got five justices of the Supreme Court to go along with him on this thing, and thus became president in 2000. The Supreme Court, Antonin Scalia specifically pointed out in the majority opinion, that there is no right in the Constitution, no specific right, to vote for electors for President of the United States, to vote for President, you know, to cast a vote for President of the United States. Jesse Jackson Jr. suggests that that right actually does exist, and that this is the Scalia thing, and that it rests in the Tenth Amendment. The Tenth Amendment is what's called a positive amendment. There are negative amendments. For example, the 14th Amendment says you can't discriminate. You must. 13th, 14th, 15th are all saying negative amendments. Essentially, you can't, you know, certain things you can't do. But the Tenth Amendment says that the powers not designated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And I'd say the Ninth Amendment as well. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. In other words, what the Ninth and Tenth Amendments say is that just because it doesn't say you have a right in the Constitution doesn't mean you don't have a right, because the people have all the rights. The Bill of Rights isn't a list of, these are the only rights you have. No, we have all the rights. Government has certain privileges. So, you know, there's many people who believe that we actually do have a right to vote for president, even though it's not specifically laid out in the Constitution. But the reality is that there's not a mechanism to enforce that right laid out in the Constitution for president, to vote for the electors for president. And so Jesse Jackson is suggesting that there should be Jesse Jackson Jr., a congressman, suggesting that there should be a constitutional amendment to propose this. And along with these, here's some other reforms that Stephen Hill and Bob Ritchie are suggesting. Nonpartisan election officials, in other words, anybody who's involved in the elections cannot be the head of the Bush for President Committee. Sorry, can't do it anymore. National Elections Commission, some national group that has the ability to oversee these things, sort of like an impartial, you know, jury, a court. Universal voter registration. As soon as you turn 18, just like right now, you're supposed to register for the draft when you turn 18 if you're male. Well, everybody, when they turn 18, they get registered just automatically. This is add 50 million people to the voter rolls overnight. Public interest voting equipment. In other words, it's not owned by private corporations. Move the elections to weekends and holidays. This is great stuff. We could do it. 10 minutes before the hour.
Bonjour. My name is Véronique Raskin. I founded the Organic Wine Company 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious. When turned into wine, you can really taste the difference with every sip. So our wines are delicious and eco-friendly. So I want to make it easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE, and I will send you 3 of my favorite organically grown French wines at half off the regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. Isn't that magnifique? I think so. If you don't share my enthusiasm, I'll gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me at 1-888-ECO-WINE. ECOWINE. Au revoir.
Do you want to find out what the invasion of Iraq was really about? Read the new illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Once you've read We the People, you'll understand why conservatives are trying to bankrupt government and how perpetual war is used as a political strategy in the United States. You'll learn how our votes are in danger and what we must do about it. You'll discover why the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 matter today. Populist watchdog and national radio commentator Jim Hightower had this to say about We the People.
Not only does this book tell you what's really going on, but it even draws you a picture of it. Read, learn, and act.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. A compelling story of how a government by and for the people has been replaced by corporate domination. Fully illustrated by Neil Cohn, We the People issues a call to action in a most entertaining way. Available in bookstores everywhere.
For thousands of years, millions of people have trusted the healing power of herbs. Healing Hollers, an earth-based business in the southern Ozarks, has formulated medical herbal salves proven effective in promoting healing and providing relief for many skin conditions, including a healing salve with antiseptic and antibacterial properties to treat cuts, burns, scalds, and wounds, an antifungal salve safe and effective for athlete's foot, ringworm, nail, and other fungal infections, and a soothing calendula salve to reduce pain and inflammation from dry skin, eczema, and rashes, including diaper rash. These salves contain only herbs and roots organically grown or ethically wildcrafted natural oils and beeswax from the Ozarks. To learn more about these salves and other natural products from Healing Hollers, go to www.healing-hollers.com. That's www.healing-hollers.com.
This is a WIN feature story. I'm Sarah Turner. Last week, the City Council in Salinas, California, capped a series of contentious budget debates with a decision to close all of its public libraries next summer, becoming the largest U.S. city to do so. WIN reporter Vinny Lombardo has more.
Charles Williamson called the council action shameful and says he's worried for kids whose parents can't afford the books, videos, and computers offered at the library.
We're making them stay poor and uneducated. It's not fair. It's not right. It's not what America's about.
It's a bad time.
Salinas Mayor Ana Caballero.
Universally, it's a bad time for cities and county government in our country.
Like many small and mid-sized communities, Salinas is facing huge budget shortfalls and tough choices about which programs to axe. Over the past year, spending was cut by $8.2 million, and the city no longer pays for road repairs, trash pickup, and other services. Closing the three libraries will save about $3.5 million a year.
It's almost like amputations. We're taking apart pieces that we really should be providing.
Caballero says she's not proud of the decision to shut the libraries and blames reduced revenues and state budget takeaways. Sylvia Garcia, a Salinas librarian, doesn't think that's a good enough answer.
And because the monies have been mismanaged, the community is going to pay the price.
In last month's election, Salinas voters rejected measures A and B, which, if passed, would have added up to $10 million annually to the general fund. Garcia says voters are being punished and wonders why the cuts weren't spread around.
There are many other departments within the city of Salinas, including fire and police, and yet the library is the one that was penalized the most.
While hiring of new police and fire personnel was put on hold, neither department experienced cuts. As for librarians, most are long-term and aren't sure what to expect after receiving their severance pay. Salinas residents will meet mid-January to discuss plans for a new tax initiative. For the Workers Independent News, I'm Vinny Lombardo.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on.
You know, it's a delicate balance, isn't it? Life between being outraged by what's wrong and really appreciating what's right. There is so much right with this nation, and there is so much right with humanity, and there are so many fine people in the world, and so many great people doing good things. And not to mention the founders of this country, and the folks who put together the 15th Amendment, which was ratified in 1870, first proposed 1869. One of the folks in our chat room, I think it was Pacecop, points out to me, the 15th Amendment, the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. And Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Now, it's specifically in there to allow freed slaves to vote, African Americans to vote. But you could argue that that's a right to vote in the Constitution, in which case Scalia was wrong. And the vote should have been counted in Florida and should be counted in Ohio. Who knows? Anyhow, Rick in Michigan's on the line. Hey, Rick, welcome to the program.
Happy holidays, Tom.
Well, thank you, and the same to you, Rick.
Maybe just to be a little bit sarcastic, we could say there's a lot right-wing with our nation, huh?
Yeah. Right-wing, actually. It's a,
by the way, Dog Hammarskjöld died in 61, I believe. I remember that because
61.
Gary Cooper and Ty Cobb died that year, three famous people.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And I didn't even look up my almanac, or I could have given you the, I think it might have been in April. But anyway, that was an interesting point there that Jesse Jackson Jr. had, because I think it was actually Ted Olson making that, you know, the husband of Barbara Olson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Made that argument in the Supreme Court ruling that, or hearing rather, that the people did not have an inherent right to vote. And if you read the Electoral College, which I know you and I have discussed this, I think it's an abomination, but it does seem to indicate that you really don't have the right, and that each state legislature, and in the early years of our republic, that's what happened. The state legislatures appointed the, at least some of them did.
Right. The Electoral College was envisioned by the founders as a council of wise elders, essentially.
But Jesse Jackson Jr. makes a good point. And I use that Tenth Amendment argument with my gun nut friends, that the Second Amendment is not what allows you the right to bear an arm. It is the Tenth Amendment, because the Second Amendment.
Good point.
Specifically, the militia.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Rick, thanks for the call.
Have a good day.
You too, and a good week, and a happy holidays and everything else. So a lot can be done. Ending redistricting shenanigans. That's another one. You know, get these time delayed games, abolish the Electoral College. And pry open our democracy. I'd say instant runoff voting. These are the issues that can make America a more democratic nation. Stuff we really should be doing. We absolutely should be doing.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
If it weren't for In These Times, I'd be a man without a country, says author Kurt Vonnegut. For more than 27 years, the progressive news magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. It is the publication the scholar and activist Cornel West calls the most creative and challenging news magazine of the American left. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Turn to In These Times for stories on civil liberties, the environment, labor, feminism, and much more. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich put it this way, to people who say they are sick of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. That's 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Yesterday, the California Nurses Association filed a lawsuit against Arnold Schwarzenegger. The governor suspended a new nurse-to-patient staffing requirement set to take effect next week. The lawsuit claims Schwarzenegger illegally overstepped his authority by issuing an emergency block on a state legislature bill passed in 1999 mandating a 1-to-5 nurse-to-patient ratio. Charles Idelson is a spokesperson for the CNA.
They did that order at the specific request of the state's multi-billion-dollar hospital industry and ignored all of the evidence that is already in that having safe care in hospitals reduces patient deaths, hospital infections, hospital injuries, and helps erode the nursing shortage.
On December 7th, Schwarzenegger called the nurses, quote, special interests, whom he said, quote, don't like me in Sacramento because I kick their butt.
AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says as 2004 draws to a close, working families are being squeezed as never before, losing good jobs, pensions, and health insurance. AFL-CIO has joined a coalition to save Social Security to make sure working families don't lose the one thing they've been guaranteed. Sweeney says President Bush wants to divert 1/6 of Social Security revenues into Wall Street in his privatization plan. Walmart has snagged Grinch of the Year in a national online poll by Jobs with Justice. The labor group says Walmart deserves its title of Grinch of the Year for paying very low wages, creating barriers to health care for its workers, and other transgressions. Jobs with Justice says Walmart has also admitted routinely locking overnight workers in its stores and was sued this year in the largest sex discrimination suit in history, a class action on behalf of roughly 1.6 million current and former employees. The national poll was held December 6th. 6th through the 22nd by Jobs with Justice. Over 1,000 workers have decided to join the Teamsters in several organizing victories. 502 drivers at Laidlaw Transit Services elected Teamster representation in Orange County, California. In Illinois, 420 workers at the Berwyn Juvenile Temporary Detention Center also voted to join the Teamsters. Another 60 workers at Allied Waste, BFI, in Mobile, Alabama, and 50 drivers and dock workers in Richmond, Virginia, also joined the Teamster ranks.
Here's today's Workers Independent News Dow Bob Report. Why is President Bush claiming the Social Security sky is falling? Bush is pushing to privatize Social Security, but according to the Campaign for America's Future, privatization would drain the current trust fund, cut benefits workers receive, and give early retirees less than they get now. Social Security is solvent until the year 2042, according to its trustees, or the year 2052, according to the General Accounting Office. After that, there's still expected to be money left to pay the nation 75% of their benefits.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
In the cacophony of Christmas commercialism, it can be difficult even to recall that it's about Jesus. But this is hardly the only time that Jesus gets lost. Take politics. In the recent presidential run, much was made by George W. and his handlers of his supposedly superior moral values based on his commitment to Jesus. But before we let Bush steal away with the robe of Jesus and don it as a Republican garment, let's reflect a moment on the moral teachings of this man from Nazareth. Like George, I grew up in a Methodist church in Texas. Unlike George, I didn't find any burning anti-liberal theology there. My little church might have considered itself conservative, but only in terms of its commitment to the deeply egalitarian, truly progressive values we found in the biblical teachings of Jesus. I recall many a sermon that began with Jesus' words in Matthew 19:24, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." I recall that the greatest sin of all, the root of all evil, Jesus said, is the love of money. I recall the passionate retelling of how Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple, threw them out for charging interest rates far less than usurious bankers now charge us on our Visas and MasterCards, by the way. I recall also that Jesus fed all the masses that day on the hillside at the Sea of Galilee, not turning anyone away who lacked a platinum card to buy fishes and loaves. And I recall that Jesus flatly said, "You cannot serve both God and mammon." In the Good Book, Jesus talks more about economic justice than nearly any other subject, and the apostles made clear that the most important ethical religious test of Judeo-Christian faith is in how we treat the least wealthy, least important among us. This is Jim Hightower saying, let's call on Bush, and the Democrats too, to live up to these moral values before they claim that Jesus is on their side.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you. The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coricidin HBP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coricidin HBP. Use as directed.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends. to the Tom Hartman radio program, where reason is our lifestyle choice. Broadcasting from high up in the Green Mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont. Working here with Ira and Louise and Brad Walrada down there in New York. And Harriet running our chat room, and Sue and Rama, our resident curmudgeon and occasional fill-in host. What a bunch. We're doing great. Anyhow, it's an extraordinary season. Ah, see, Harriet in Seattle, speak of the devil. Harriet has that voting information that we were talking about in the last hour. Hey, Harriet, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Well, first of all, being slightly embarrassed here, how much I know about living here for 23 years, there's 39 counties, but 38 of them have still been certified. It leaves us, King County, here as being the only one left.
Okay.
But there are three counties, Yakima, Skamania, and Snohomish, who do use the touchscreen, no paper trail machines, but none of them are Diebold machines.
Hmm.
So the position of the Secretary of State, since I just talked to their office, is that the time for those other counties, including Chris Vance, who have complained, was before certification. So he is not supporting any additional recounts or...
Well, you can't recount those kind of machines anyway. I mean, you walk in and you look at what it says on the screen, and it says the same thing on the screen a week later when you walk in and look at what it says on the screen, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the whole issue with the paperless machines is, if they are nationwide looking at it this way, if they've been tampered with and they run a report on them, well, it's still going to show the tampered results. So, I mean, the fact
right.
that it doesn't have a paper trail is the issue.
Yeah, I mean, the only way that you can check a paperless machine is by comparing exit polls to results.
Right.
And probably that was not done on a precinct-by-precinct or county-by-county basis in Washington State.
So, I don't think so,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, and so the bottom line here, Harriet, is that it's moving toward the Democrat. The Republicans are all freaked out. They're gonna challenge this, and the drama continues.
It does,
okay,
yes.
Great.
Tune in next week.
There you go.
Okay.
Thanks, Harriet.
Okay, thank
Appreciate
you,
the report. Do good. 9 minutes, Pat, and happy holidays. 9 minutes after the hour. Speaking of happy holidays... And you know, that being generally for probably the majority of Americans a euphemism for Merry Christmas, for many Americans a euphemism for Happy Hanukkah, for some a euphemism for Happy Saturnalia or Winter Solstice or whatever it may be. But putting it in the context of Christianity for a moment, an interesting question raised by John Gorenfeld, a contributing writer to The Gadflyer, which gadflyer.com is the website. And this guy did some really good investigative reporting on this thing. And I have to share this with you. This is quite a remarkable story. And it's been about a year since I did a good story or an in-depth, you know, piece on what's up with the relationship between the Bush family and Reverend Moon. And this has put this thing together. This is fascinating. Did you know that there is a group called the American Clergy Leadership Conference, which sponsored a nationwide tour last Easter called Tear Down the Cross Day? They were tearing down crosses and throwing them in the trash. They buried some ritually. Others, there's a photo on their website, actually, of this group of a cross being thrown in a dumpster. And where are these crosses being torn down from? From public places? From courthouse steps? No. From churches, from Christian churches. It turns out that the American Clergy Leadership Conference, which ran this program, mostly African-American pastors who joined in 2003's ACLC-sponsored Tear Down the Cross, won gold watches from the wealthy group, which unabashedly claims in its publications to have stripped churches of over 100 crosses over the last Easter holiday alone. This movement, leaders said, movement to remove crosses from churches, cleared the way for a new age and second Messiah. Now, what is the new age and who is the second Messiah? It is the age of Reverend Moon, and he is the Messiah. Turns out the ACLC is a front group for Reverend Moon. It's a vehicle for Sung Myung Moon, this billionaire conservative donor who calls himself the true father. And they just had a meeting. Well, I'll just read you this, the opening paragraph. This wintry season, as the faithful continue to receive alarming reports from the news that Republicans are all that stand between them and the outlawing of Christmas itself by hordes of secular humanists, the two presidents Bush have endorsed a powerful conservative interest group specializing in removing the cross, not from schools or courthouses, but from churches. Though they had this breakfast, there were two other co-sponsors, by the way, besides the ACLC, this Moon group. The one is called the International and Interreligious Federation of World Peace, and the other is the American Family Coalition. These three groups sponsored this breakfast last week. And who showed up? George Bush Sr. showed up on video. He's actually spoken to these groups. In fact, he did a tour on behalf of Reverend Moon to South Korea and other parts of the world. Anyhow, the International Interreligious Faith Federation of World Peace and the American Family Coalition, Moon founded back in 1984. They sound very ecumenical, don't they? On Wednesday, a video file containing the elder President Bush's message to the ACLC disappeared from the movement's website. Looks like somebody outed them, and I think I'm reading the story to you right now, or sharing it with you. One series of photos found on Moon's website, but purged after receiving unfavorable attention earlier this year from evangelicals, shows Massachusetts preacher John Kingara taking down the cross from his church, hauling it behind the old brick building, and hoisting it into a dumpster. Another shows a ritual in Israel disposing of the cross in the earth. Kingara, this Christian minister, embraced the ACLC's new gospel and declared in remarks found in the Unification News, quote, the fact that the cross is a symbol of division, shame, suffering, and bloodshed prove that it is not of God but of Satan, end quote. He continued, quote, on this 18th day of April 2003, we are beginning a new history. Pastors, please help me bring the cross down because it is not of God but the devil, end quote. This is from Reverend Moon's website. Cheerfully pitched to pastors as trade your cross for a crown. This is a rebate program. They help out these churches financially if they'll get rid of their crosses. It echoes the ceremony that was held in the United States Senate building, the Everett Dirksen building, Senate building, when Congressman Danny K. Davis, Democrat of Illinois, bowed on his knees and presented a crown to the Reverend Sung Myung Moon. The Reverend Moon, by the way, owns the Washington Times and United Press International, a longtime friend of the Bush family. In Moon's teachings, notes the Gadflyer, God himself is shedding tears over mankind's obsession with the cross, which prevents us from recognizing the real returning Lord Moon himself. It's no secret. This is something he's patiently explained to many audiences of congressmen and former Republican presidents over the years in Washington pageants that hardly ever make the news. America is saying to Father, please become my king, claimed Moon Minister Chung Kwok, the father being Moon himself. The versatile Kwok is currently wearing a second hat as head of the UPI news agency. The head of UPI! America is saying to Reverend Moon, please become my king. The elder Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, made a taped appearance before the ACLC's 3,000-strong crowd, which he thanked for their work. Quote, this is George Bush Sr. I thought about parachuting into the building, he joked, as about wishing he could make it, and he paid lip service to Moon's unwieldy religious jargon, using phrases like peace centered on God and a goal that he called right on target. His son, George W. Bush, wrote a warm letter of support presented at the event by a state senator in which the president and his wife, Laura, sent their best wishes to the sponsors and thanked them for rallying his armies of compassion. It's unclear what the ACLC has done for society's problems, although its website is selling a video called Beyond the Cross, that being Reverend Moon, and an affiliated Moon Front Group, Free Teens USA, has received almost $500,000 under George Bush's abstinence-only program. Faith-based initiatives pay off for Reverend Moon. The elder Bush once explained his cooperation with Moon's Unification Church to the Washington Post through a spokesman as follows, quote, "This group is about strengthening the family, and that's what the President and Mrs. Bush are deeply focused on," end quote. Well, after a fashion. Moon preaches, notes Gadflyer.com, Moon preaches that Jesus failed to start a family, which is why God is confined, as he said last Tuesday, grieved by his sons having blown it for mankind, with the Nazi Holocaust as punishment for the Jews' failure to unite behind the King of the Jews. And so Moon says he's building a new kingdom centered on absolute familyism, referring to his true family of sworn followers, the people that, you know, you join and he marries you, the whole thing. One ex-member, Catherine Mazur, she, in 1993, she was on the Today Show. She says photos of Moon with George Bush played a major role in the seminar that indoctrinated her into the Moonie cult. In the mid-90s, the elder Bush trekked to Argentina as a paid spokesman for Moon, who he introduced as the man with the vision. During the Clinton years, the senior Bush also tagged along with Moon on speaking tours in Japan, where the former president had kind words for this strange bedfellow and ex-convict. Bush is estimated to have received upwards of $1 million for these appearances. Moon also gave $1 million to Bush's presidential library, and when Bush was vice president, it was a generous check from Moon that opened Oliver North's Contra Freedom Fund. But Washington conservatives, notes the Gadflyer, are most thankful to Moon for lavishing more than $2 billion on the money-losing Washington Times. That paper was an important building block in the construction of an alternative Republican media machine as we know it today. At a 1997 Washington Times anniversary dinner, the elder Bush made a video appearance similar to last Monday's, crediting the paper with winning the Cold War and similarly sharing the stage with Moon, who claimed that Moon claimed that he had founded the Washington Times to save the world. So here we've got Bill O'Reilly saying that conservatives are outraged about the war against Christianity, and you have George Bush Jr. and George Bush Sr. collaborating with, helping to fund, and speaking at and on behalf of Moon front groups that are running around having Christian churches take their crosses down and bury them to make way for the replacement of Moon's crown. Trade your crown in for a cross is the program. George Bush has built his reputation on being a good Methodist, church that I grew up in. But he doesn't go to church very often, unlike Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton. Maybe it's because he's secretly a Moonie. 20 minutes past the hour.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Bonjour, my name is Michel, and I founded the Organic Wine Company with my sister 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines yet, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious that when turned into wine, you can really taste the difference. Our wines are delicious and eco-friendly, so I want to make it very easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE and I will send you three of my favorite organic French wines at half their regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. C'est magnifique! And if you don't agree, I will gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE, which is ECOWINE. Au revoir.
At last, there's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about the Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. If you'd like to help bring the Tom Hartman program to a radio station in your area, please let us know. We have tools to help you make that happen. For more information, go to www.tomhartman.com and click on the Bring Tom Show to Your Town link on the left side of the page. Thanks for your help in bringing uncommon sense from the radical middle to your community.
Real novelists don't go to graduate school, they go to prison. Mike Palasek is one of America's newest, most exciting political storytellers. Palasek is a former federal prisoner for peace, county commissioner, city jail prisoner, Iowa Democratic Party candidate for Congress, football co-captain, small-town newspaper reporter, and bakery delivery truck driver. Check out www.iowapeace.com for Mike's books and read his weekly column, Is This Heaven? The View from Iowa. Go to iowapeace.com for ordering information for Twins, Joe Coffey's Revolution, KGB, The Truth, The Last Liberal Outlaw, and Prophets Without Honor. Palasek's books are recommended by Howard Zinn, Danny Schechter, BlueEar.com, The Des Moines Register, and Prisoners Everywhere.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And where that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I want to hear it.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. 24 and a half minutes past the hour. Time for our daily report from the Talk Radio News Service. Alan Ratner in Washington, D.C. with an update for us. Hey, Alan, we were, by the way, I got to tell you, I don't know if you've seen this thing at thegadflyer.com. George Bush and his father both sending messages to Reverend Moon at this big gathering. Moon has this organization, it's called Tear Down the Cross, this campaign. They're taking down crosses from Christian churches and burying them to prepare for the crown, which is Moon. And he had 3,000 people, and a video of George Bush Sr. coming in saying, I was thinking of parachuting in, and I wish you well, and all this, because Moon was paying George Bush Sr. $1 million a whack to go speak with him in Argentina and Japan and whatnot. And,
most favorite story about Reverend Moon is that the guy that used to run one of his organizations, sort of one of his lobbying organizations, and I did a radio show together about 10 years back. And as you know, Reverend Moon and his wife call themselves the True Parents.
That's right.
Well, do you know that they lobbied to get Congress to do something called Parents Day?
Oh, my.
And there is now something called Parents Day. And they lobbied, you know, thinking this was this great idea, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, this crown at the Capitol and all that stuff. That was all related to this Parents' Day thing.
So it was
that they lobbied Congress, and people didn't realize what was up. But this guy's sole job was to get there to be a proclamation of Parents' Day.
Yeah, and it was really about Moon and his wife as the true
That's
parents.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that happened,
incredible.
I would say, 93 or 94, so it's been 10 years.
Well, you know, and he's put $2 billion into the Washington Times, which really has been the cornerstone of the right wing Republican media. You know, it's still losing money, and it's just incredible. Anyhow, what's up in Washington D.C.?
Well, Mr. Moon, they are now basically still saying that Howard Dean has a very good chance. He's considered the man to beat in the Democratic National Committee race.
Really? When is that? When is the vote going
to
be
taken? Well, because, you know, it's going to be, unless people drop out, unless there's some backroom deal, it's the person who gets the most vote. Well, you have Dean, you have Governor Romer, you have Martin Frost, you have, let's see, the evil Harold Ickes.
Yeah.
And that's who you got.
Right. And most of them are sort of,
you know, the person who gets the most votes.
Yeah, and the rest of them are sort of DLC warmed over, aren't they?
Well, I'm not sure Tim Romer is, actually, and certainly Howard Dean is not.
No, but when I said the rest of them, I meant everybody other than Howard Dean. I don't know much about Romer.
There's one, Harold Ickes has one goal in life, to elect Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Yeah.
And become White House Chief of Staff. So that's the first thing. The second thing, of course, this was in all the papers. Just want to remind
Ellen, if I could just interrupt you, when is that? When are we going to know who's the DLC?
Well, the election is until first week in February.
Oh, so it's still a month and a half away.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Great. Okay. Yeah, you were saying now.
I guess I'll go with a quickie and one you've probably been talking about all morning, but the renewed fighting in Fallujah is happening, you know, I thought Fallujah was secured. There are about 200 residents returning to the city. People say that they expect 2,000 to return over the weekend, but apparently there's still more fighting.
I thought
we'd secured it.
Oh my.
I must have read it somewhere wrong.
Yeah, no, it's this
Mr.
is
Mr. Hartman. I must have gotten that just wrong.
Yeah, we all goofed when we thought the mission was accomplished.
That's right.
Yeah.
And last but not least, as you know, they are cutting. We've been talking about this from time to time. The Pell Grants being cut.
Yeah.
By $300 million. Now, the last time I recall, we were spending $1 billion a week in Iraq.
Right.
Pell Grant, $300 million for the year. We've got
so that's 2.5 days in Iraq
because of technology and education.
Yeah, and the cost of 2.5 days in Iraq for over a million scholarships for students, and that's too much money. That's amazing. Ellen, thanks for the report.
You got it.
Great to hear from you. Talk to you tomorrow. 29 minutes past the hour.
Do you have a child with ADHD who is misunderstood, unhappy, and dissatisfied with school? Are you ready for an educational change and for your child to like school again? Consider The Hunter School, a residential K-8 school specializing in the education of children with ADHD, hunters in a farmer's world. Hunter School appreciates and honors the uniqueness of each student while building upon his inherent strengths and abilities. For more information, find us on the web at hunterschool.org.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Yesterday, the California Nurses Association filed a lawsuit against Arnold Schwarzenegger. The governor suspended a new nurse-to-patient staffing requirement set to take effect next week. The lawsuit claims Schwarzenegger illegally overstepped his authority by issuing an emergency block on a state legislature bill passed in 1999 mandating a 1-to-5 nurse-to-patient ratio. Charles Idelson is a spokesperson for the CNA.
They did that order at the specific request of the state's multi-billion-dollar hospital industry and ignored all of the evidence that is already in that having safe care in hospitals reduces patient deaths, hospital infections, hospital injuries, and helps erode the nursing shortage.
On December 7th, Schwarzenegger called the nurses, quote, special interests, whom he said, quote, don't like me in Sacramento because I kick their butt.
AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says as 2004 draws to a close, working families are being squeezed as never before, losing good jobs, pensions, and health insurance. AFL-CIO has joined a coalition to save Social Security to make sure working families don't lose the one thing they've been guaranteed. Sweeney says President Bush wants to divert 1/6 of Social Security revenues into Wall Street in his privatization plan. Walmart has snagged Grinch of the Year in a national online poll by Jobs with Justice. The labor group says Walmart deserves its title of Grinch of the Year for paying very low wages, creating barriers to health care for its workers, and other transgressions. Jobs with Justice says Walmart has also admitted routinely locking overnight workers in its stores and was sued this year in the largest sex discrimination suit in history, a class action on behalf of roughly 1.6 million current and former employees. The national poll was held December 6th through the 22nd by Jobs with Justice. Over 1,000 workers have decided to join the Teamsters in several organizing victories. 502 drivers at Laidlaw Transit Services elected Teamster representation in Orange County, California. In Illinois, 420 workers at the Berwyn Juvenile Temporary Detention Center also voted to join the Teamsters. Another 60 workers at Allied Waste, BFI, in Mobile, Alabama, and 50 drivers and dock workers in Richmond, Virginia, also joined the Teamster ranks.
Here's today's Workers Independent News Dow Bob Report. Why is President Bush claiming the Social Security sky is falling? Bush is pushing to privatize Social Security, but according to the Campaign for America's Future, privatization would drain the current trust fund, cut benefits workers receive, and give early retirees less than they get now. Social Security is solvent until the year 2042, according to its trustees, or the year 2052, according to the General Accounting Office. After that, there's still expected to be money left to pay the nation 75% of their benefits.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. Special greetings, by the way, to my son Justin and his friend Corey, who are here for the holidays. So great to have you guys here. When a church group put up a nativity scene on public property, officials warned it might open the door to other religious and not-so-religious displays. So this is... It's like, you know, George Bush does his faith-based initiatives thing, and Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, they're going, oh boy, us churches are going to get a lot of money. And who gets a $500,000? Reverend Moon! Well, similarly, down in Bartow, Florida, a church group goes out and they say, we're going to put a nativity scene on public property. Try and stop us. And the local officials in Polk County say, oh, that's all right, we're not going to fight this one. You know, we're not going to fight it. So the church group puts up the nativity scene. And since they put this up, this was a week ago, other folks have come out and put up displays honoring Zoroastrianism, the fake holiday Festivus, which was created and featured on the Seinfeld show. The site almost immediately sprouted alternative displays, including a simple sign that reads, Festivus for the rest of us, donated to Polk County by the Seinfeld fan club. The display, a reference to the fake holiday, this is from Wire Reports, a reference to the fake holiday featured on an episode of the TV sitcom, did not include the totem of Festivus, a bare aluminum pole instead of a tree. Key rituals of Festivus include accusing others of being a disappointment and wrestling. Every religion is welcome, I guess, there in Polk County, Florida. 1-866-889-8894. Toll free number 1-866-889-8894. And Alice in Humboldt County, California is on the line. Hey, Alice, welcome to the program.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wondered whether you had read the Doomsbury cartoon on Sunday.
I did. I don't remember what it said.
It's really good.
What was the punchline?
Well, this is about the who's there? He's in bed. And that's Bush is in bed.
Uh-huh.
The ghost of history past.
Right. It was the ghost of and he ends up saying, "Can you make me a little taller in history?"
Now, I thought that was wonderful.
You know, which reminded me. I remember when I read that, thinking one of the things that really struck me during the debates was that Bush was wearing lifts. Bush is 6 inches shorter than John Kerry, and yet when he went up and shook John Kerry's hand, he was only about 3 inches shorter than John Kerry. Yeah. And he was obviously wearing lifts in his shoes, you know, and I was surprised that nobody mentioned that. It's just, you know, we're such a kind of celebrity fixated, you know, detail freaky culture. I think, you know, had John Kerry been wearing lifts, you know, you can bet Rush Limbaugh would have been talking about it. But I was just surprised by that. And then I saw that thing in Doonesbury where he says, can you make me a little taller?
Oh, I thought that was good.
Yeah, it was a funny one. It was a funny one. The ghost of Christmas.
I wondered whether you had had any input on that.
No, I didn't. I don't know Gary Trudeau. But I love to read Doonesbury every day. So.
Oh, yeah.
Alice, thanks for the call.
Okay.
Nice to hear from you.
Keep up the good work.
I'll do my very best, Alice, and you too. And happy holidays to you. Have a you know, whatever it may be, whatever's appropriate to you. I think Hanukkah's over now, isn't it? So I guess it's just Merry Christmas, Happy New Year is what's left, and Happy Kwanzaa. And of course, Saturnalia, that would have been day before yesterday. So, and there's Happy Festivus, right? Or is it Festivus? Whatever it is, the Seinfeld holiday. Here we have Chuck Baldwin. By the way, one of the folks in our chat room, I raised this question, is George Bush a Mooney? Because he's supporting the moon, he's supporting Reverend Moon, and he, you know, giving money to Reverend Moon, he's speaking at Reverend Moon's things, his father's been following Reverend Moon around the world. Reverend Moon gave $1 million to his father's library. He helped fund Ollie North's efforts. Is George W. Bush actually a Mooney? And one of the folks in the chat room, it's scrolled off the screen right now, so I'm sorry I can't acknowledge who it was. I would like to do that. But one of the folks in the chat room said, somebody said, if he is there any period in his biography, in his history, where he just kind of vanished for a while when he could have been indoctrinated into the cult, you know, when he could have joined the Moonies? And somebody else said, well, there's that missing year in Alabama where nobody saw him. And now we know where he was. It all falls into place. It all makes sense. He was in a Mooney commune getting indoctrinated. And that's why now he's supporting Reverend Moon. And anyway, Chuck Baldwin is a graduate of the Midwestern Baptist College, the Thomas Road Bible Institute, that's Jerry Falwell's college, now known as Liberty Bible Institute and Liberty University, which, by the way, was bailed out of its financial troubles by none other than the Reverend Moon. Yes, Jerry Falwell took money from the Reverend Moon to keep his church, his college afloat. Anyhow, Chuck Baldwin went to that college, and he also went to Trinity Baptist College in Jacksonville, Florida. He was the executive director of the Florida Moral Majority, an active member of the local Christian Coalition. He says, I've marched and protested against abortion clinics. I have led several pro-life rallies. He says, when Reagan was running for president, he helped Dr. Jerry Falwell register more than 50,000 new conservative voters in his state, which is Florida. He says, I've attended White House functions with former President Reagan and former Vice President George H.W. Bush. He says, I supported and defended Chief Justice Roy Moore. Remember the guy with the Ten Commandments there in Alabama? He's a member of the NRA, a life member of Gun Owners of America. He says, no one can honestly question my commitment to pro-life, pro-family, conservative causes. That being said, says Chuck Baldwin, this was published in the Covenant News. This is a religious publication, a Christian publication, the Covenant, the Christian Covenant. That being said, he says, the religious right, as it now exists, scares me. Scares me. He goes on to say, for one reason on the whole, the religious right has obviously and patently become little more than a propaganda machine for the Republican Party in general and for President G.W. Bush in particular. He goes on to say, this guy, impeccable credentials, this guy, who is still, I mean, he's still considers himself part of the religious right in the Republican Party. He said, it also appears painfully obvious to me that in order to sit at the king's table, king being George W., the religious right is willing to compromise any principle, no matter how sacred. As such, it has become a hollow movement. Sadly, the religious right is now a movement without a cause, except the cause of advancing the Republican Party. Beyond that, writes Chuck Baldwin, the religious right is actively assisting those who would destroy our freedoms. On the whole, the religious right comports with those within the Bush administration, within the Republican Party, who in the name of fighting terrorism are actually terrorizing constitutional protections of our liberties. See, this is the point where true liberals and true conservatives, patriots both, converge. And that is the belief that when the founders said, you know, the Fourth Amendment, that you have a right to privacy, to security in your home, your possessions, your and your person. When the founders and framers said that you have a right to trial by jury, that the government can't set up a concentration camp and simply hold you there because they decide that they want to or that they're going to. You have a right to a trial by a jury of your peers. You have a right to make bail. You have a right to be confronted by your accusers. Explicitly, true conservatives and true liberals say, yes, these are the bedrock foundations of our nation. So here's Chuck Baldwin, this genuine conservative, writing in the Covenant News. He says, the religious right offered virtually no resistance to the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, the passage of the Patriot Act, or the recently created position of National Intelligence Director. Neither did the religious right offer even a whimper of protest as President Bush and Republicans in Congress created a first-ever national ID card in the new intelligence bill, which eerily has more in common with early 20th century German and Russian intelligence institutions than anything envisioned by America's founding fathers. Another disconcerting feature, he writes, of today's religious right is its attempt to Christianize political entities which it supports and to demonize political entities which it opposes. This trend is especially scary. I am just so impressed. I'm just so very impressed by, you know, one of these guys telling the truth. It's coming out and saying, This is what's really going on. This is it. And, you know, God bless him. He's done a great job. He's really, really worthy of our Caught You Doing Something Right award today. Don't you think? There you go. Chuck Baldwin, we caught you doing something right. He says, I'm a religious conservative and the religious right, Christian conservative, and the religious right scares me. He goes on to say, when people are told they are voting Christian by voting for Republican Party candidates, it is being intimated that they are voting non-Christian by voting for any other candidate. This is not only silly on its face, it's downright dangerous. He says, I don't remember anyone saying people voted Christian when they elected the outspoken Christian candidate Jimmy Carter president, yet Carter in his personal life demonstrated as much, if not more, Christianity than does George W. Bush. If you recall, Carter even taught Sunday school in a Southern Baptist church while president. He says, America is fast taking on the shape of the old Holy Roman Empire, and President Bush is quickly morphing into a modern-day Caesar. Chuck Baldwin notes, I used to believe that liberals were paranoid for being fearful of conservative Christians gaining political power. Now, and he's speaking as one of them, now he says, I share their trepidation. And he wraps this piece up that he wrote in CovenantNews.com, or Covenant News. He wraps this up by saying, unfortunately, when the seed of Bush's unconstitutional policies comes to fruition, this guy also does a religious radio show. When the seed of Bush's unconstitutional policies come to fruition, it will produce large-scale fallout economically, socially, and politically. Is this sounding familiar to you folks? And sadder still will be that instead of blaming Bush's infidelity to constitutional government and conservative principles, people will blame Christianity and conservatism itself. Conservatives are starting to say, hey, wait a minute. Do we really want to travel down this road? True conservatives, not just folks who are sucking up to power. Andrea Stone in USA Today writes an article headlined, Conservatives to Challenge Bush. Emboldened conservatives in Congress say they will oppose the White House next year on at least a half dozen issues where they say President Bush has strayed from Republican values. Points of contention, conservatives plan battles over. Immigration, hardliners oppose Bush's plan to give guest worker status to illegal immigrants. They prefer to see amnesty laws tightened. Makes sense to me, I have to say. I'm not sure that there's an official liberal position on this. If there is, I may well be out of that mainstream. Whatever. I see this whole immigration thing that Bush is promoting as just another thread in the fabric of the conservative cheap labor agenda. Plus the added benefit of getting new, you know, a new constituency. The sucking up political part of it. But the biggest part of it, I think, is just, you know, he's tossing a bone to the cheap labor corporations. Abortion. Conservatives such as Sam Brownback of Kansas say they'll oppose Supreme Court nominees friendly to abortion right. Bush says he opposes a litmus test on nominees. I don't think he's said, I mean, he says he's opposed a litmus test, but then during the debates, they asked him, what kind of Supreme Court nominee are you going to, you know, put on the bench? And he said, I would not pick somebody, you may recall this moment, he says, I would not pick somebody who would have supported the Dred Scott decision. Dred Scott? Dred Scott was like in 1854 or 1856. I forget the year, 53. Anyhow, it was just before the Civil War. Many people think it was the spark that ignited the Civil War. The Dred Scott decision was the decision that essentially ratified slavery. Said, no, we're not going to do away with it. And for years, the anti-abortion movement, ever since they decided to stop being anti-abortion and start being pro-life, taking a cue from the NLP courses offered by various folks within the Republican movement, for years they have been saying that the Dred Scott decision denied the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to African Americans, and that Roe v. Wade denies the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, constitutionally guaranteed right, or at least declared in the Declaration of Independence anyway, that Roe v. Wade denies this to unborn children. This has been the position of the anti-abortion movement for decades. Plug abortion and Dred Scott into Google. You'll get some. It's been a few months since I did it. Last time I did it was like 26,000 hits is my recollection. Everybody on the hardcore anti-abortion right knows that when a politician says Dred Scott, what they are saying is reverse Roe v. Wade. And Bush came right out during the debate and said he would only send somebody to the Supreme Court who would not support a Dred Scott type decision, which means no Roe v. Wade. Spending. Conservatives will see deeper cuts in non-defense spending than Bush is expected to request. Education. Congress must undo No Child Left Behind. I'm in favor of that. Political money. Conservatives want to repeal limits on political fundraising. They want to do away with McCain-Feingold. No, let's bring the corporations in even closer. Yeah, that's great. It's the Tom Hartman Program. Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555. And mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
This year,
give a Christmas gift of inner peace, mental health, and transformation in the form of a fun, beautiful game you play with your body and brain based on meditation, breathing, and biofeedback. Go to opednews.com to click on the Wild Divine banner to order the game that Yoga Journal says turns the quest for calm into entertainment. In most games, you find weapons. With Wild Divine, you connect your computer to your body and play the game with your mind, heart, and breath. You find new abilities and awareness truly within yourself that you use to win the game and then apply in your real life. PC Magazine says Wild Divine is innovative and fun, and even better, it's very effective. And they give it 5 stars. It's shipped with both Windows and Mac software.
The Wild Divine game is a great Christmas gift that will make a real difference in a person's life. Go to opednews.com now and click on the Wild Divine banner to order it in time for Christmas. That's opednews.com.
For thousands of years, millions of people have trusted the healing power of herbs. Healing Hollers, an earth-based business in the southern Ozarks, has formulated medical herbal salves proven effective in promoting healing and providing relief for many skin conditions, including a healing salve with antiseptic and antibacterial properties to treat cuts, burns, scalds, and wounds, an antifungal salve safe and effective for athlete's foot, ringworm, nail, and other fungal infections, and a soothing calendula salve to reduce pain and inflammation from dry skin, eczema, and rashes, including diaper rash. These salves contain only herbs and roots organically grown or ethically wildcrafted natural oils and beeswax from the Ozarks. To learn more about these salves and other natural products from Healing Hollers, go to www.healing-hollers.com. That's www.healing-hollers.com.
A major power blackout sheds some light on problems with air pollution. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. In August 2003, 8 states and the province of Ontario lost electricity when power plants and electrical grids shut down. Researchers at the University of Maryland saw a unique opportunity in the midst of this blackout. It was a chance to find out how much air pollution originates at power plants. Laxon Marufu is an atmospheric chemist at the University of Maryland in College Park. He and his colleagues have been flying over Maryland for more than a decade to measure air quality. Marufu says the air is polluted by a lot of different compounds that come from a variety of sources. He says it's hard to determine how much pollution comes from each individual source, but the blackout suddenly provided an opportunity to study the effect of emissions from power plants.
By turning off power plants, while all other factors were kept fairly constant, it provided a unique opportunity to quantify directly and for the very first time the contribution of power plants to regional haze and ozone.
Just 24 hours after the blackout began, Marufu and his colleagues were in the air. They flew downwind of the blackout area and took air quality measurements. They compared their results with measurements taken before the blackout in the same locations. Marufu says they got a big surprise.
What was surprising was not the fact that we saw an improvement in air quality. We expected that. But what surprised us most was the magnitude. We did not expect it to be that big.
Marufu says emissions of sulfur dioxide dropped by as much as 90% and ozone dropped by about 50%. Marufu says that rapid change is encouraging. He says it shows that effective emission controls at power plants could improve air quality along the East Coast, and they could do it quickly. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. 5 minutes before the hour, Ira informs me a caller wanted me to know that it's Festivus for the rest of us. Oh, so it must be Festivus for the rest of us. Yeah, good one. I missed that Seinfeld episode. For about 16, 18 years, we did not have a television, and I missed a lot. I finally got a TV a couple of years ago, and I started doing this radio show just because I, you know, had to... Had to see the news from time to time. I know that's the excuse everyone uses. But anyway, welcome back to our program. Finally, the thing that the conservatives are going to be challenging Bush on, fiscal conservatives, according to this article in USA Today by Andrea Stone, fiscal conservatives want to limit the new Medicare benefit to poor seniors and those without coverage before the program starts in 2006. Bush opposes such a move. So cut back just to the poor. Well, it means testing Medicare, in other words. And again, I have to say, yes and no. I'm not sure I have a problem with means testing Medicare or Social Security, frankly, although there's a good argument to be made on both sides, and I've heard them both. So I'm still, the jury's out on that. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind? Jeff in Bolton, Massachusetts on the line. What's in your mind, Jeff?
Happy Festivus, Tom.
Festivus, that's it. Okay, thanks, Jeff.
Festivus for the rest of us.
There you go. Happy Festivus to you, too.
Your discussion about the religious right conservatives having a common ground with the liberals brought to mind something that I had put together from a couple of different sources, and Dale Hurd, who is a reporter for CBN News, which is the 700 Club,
right,
writes about this device that the FDA has approved. It's something the size of a grain of rice. You can implant it under your skin, and it's used for human identification.
Oh, sure. And in fact, there's a company out there promoting them. The parents should give them, put them in their kids so that they, you know, if they get kidnapped or whatever, they can be found.
Exactly. The company it's made by is called Applied Digital in Delray Beach, Florida.
Right.
You can read all about this thing.
We're just about out of time, Jeff. Is the point that the religious right is concerned about this?
Pat Robertson is calling this the mark of the devil.
Yeah, the mark of the beast. Okay, right out of Revelation. What is it, the third or seventh chapter of Revelation, whatever it is. Yeah, that mark is supposed to be tattooed on your forehead. I think they're putting these things in the arm. but who knows? Who knows? Jeff, thanks for the call.
Yes,
and a reminder, happy holidays to you, too. I appreciate it. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison and Franklin and Jay and Mason and those guys, rather than some right-wing think tank in the RNC.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Yesterday, the California Nurses Association filed a lawsuit against Arnold Schwarzenegger. The governor suspended a new nurse-to-patient staffing requirement set to take effect next week. The lawsuit claims Schwarzenegger illegally overstepped his authority by issuing an emergency block on a state legislature bill passed in 1999 mandating a 1-to-5 nurse-to-patient ratio. Charles Idelson is a spokesperson for the CNA.
They did that order at the specific request of the state's multi-billion-dollar hospital industry and ignored all of the evidence that is already in that having safe care in hospitals reduces patient deaths, hospital infections, hospital injuries, and helps erode the nursing shortage.
On December 7th, Schwarzenegger called the nurses, quote, special interests, whom he said, quote, don't like me in Sacramento because I kick their butt.
AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says as 2004 draws to a close, working families are being squeezed as never before, losing good jobs, pensions, and health insurance. AFL-CIO has joined a coalition to save Social Security to make sure working families don't lose the one thing they've been guaranteed. Sweeney says President Bush wants to divert one-sixth of Social Security revenues into Wall Street in his privatization plan. Walmart has snagged Grinch of the Year in a national online poll by Jobs with Justice. The labor group says Walmart deserves its title of Grinch of the Year for paying very low wages, creating barriers to health care for its workers, and other transgressions. Jobs with Justice says Walmart has also admitted routinely locking overnight workers in its stores and was sued this year in the largest sex discrimination suit in history, a class action on behalf of roughly 1.6 million current and former employees. The national poll was held December 6th through the 22nd by Jobs with Justice. Over 1,000 workers have decided to join the Teamsters in several organizing victories. 502 drivers at Laidlaw Transit Services elected Teamster representation in Orange County, California. In Illinois, 420 workers at the Berwyn Juvenile Temporary Detention Center also voted to join the Teamsters. Another 60 workers at Allied Waste, BFI, in Mobile, Alabama, and 50 drivers and dock workers in Richmond, Virginia, also joined the Teamster ranks.
Here's today's Workers' Independent News Dow Bob Report. Why is President Bush claiming the Social Security sky is falling? Bush is pushing to privatize Social Security, but according to the Campaign for America's Future, privatization would drain the current trust fund, cut benefits workers receive, and give early retirees less than they get now. Social Security is solvent until the year 2042, according to its trustees, or the year 2052, according to the General Accounting Office. After that, there's still expected to be money left to pay the nation 75% of their benefits.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
While the economic numbers for the vast majority of Americans continue to be bad, there is one little noticed group that is showing remarkable growth. Poor people. In America, the richest country in the history of the world, the poverty rolls are rising dramatically and shamefully. The number of poor people is up by 4.8 million in the last 4 years. That's just the officially poor. There are another 39 million people who are now among the working poor. While technically not in poverty, their jobs pay so poorly that they can't make ends meet for the basics in life. Unfortunately, these folks are mostly out of sight and out of mind. The mass media ignores them, and we just had a presidential election that supposedly was about moral values, yet neither party even mentioned the immorality of rising poverty in the midst of plenty. Worse, the Bushites are now going after the few effective efforts we are still making to address poverty, from education to retirement security. Much of the monkey wrenching being done by Bush and company takes place in the dark, quietly trying to dismantle popular programs that actually work. For example, the Community Reinvestment Act has been a solid success in helping low-income communities get the investments and bank services they must have to revitalize their neighborhoods. This 30-year-old law has caused banks all across America to serve low-income people, channeling more than $1 trillion into loans for small business development and home ownership in inner cities and distressed rural towns. Yet, Bush's laissez-faire ideologues are working hard to gut the law. Two federal agencies charged with enforcing it are proposing to exempt at least 1,000 banks, as well as many S&L lenders, from having to comply, thus abandoning entire communities most in need of opportunities. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop this assault, call ACORN, 202-547-2500.
One in four adults has high blood pressure. If you're one of them and you have a cold, Coricidin HBP has surprising news for you.
The American Heart Association recognizes that decongestants found in many leading cold medicines can raise your blood pressure and interfere with blood pressure medication. So why risk it? Only decongestant-free Coracetin HVP provides a line of safe, powerful cold and flu medication specially formulated for people with high blood pressure. So make the safe choice. Coracetin HVP. Use as directed.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add him to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got Geico. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. Online at geico.com.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the home of reality-based radio. Tom Hartman here with you. How is it that corporations get away with lying to people and then claiming that they have a First Amendment right to lie? As Nike argued before the Supreme Court in April of this year, you're just about to wrap up. How is it that corporations get away with hiding the fact that they know that their products can kill you, as the asbestos and tobacco companies have since the 1930s, and hide behind the Fourth Amendment or the Fifth Amendment, saying that they have the right not to incriminate themselves or they have a right of privacy? How is it that corporations are able to say to a community, you have to take our waste incinerator, you have to take our big box store, whether you want it or not, because we have rights under the 14th Amendment. You can't discriminate against us any more than you can discriminate against a person of color or a person of one gender discriminated against the other or because of somebody's religious affiliation. How is that? It comes about because of a doctrine known as corporate personhood. This bizarre notion that was advanced in a Supreme Court case in 1886. One of several, actually, one of about a dozen. They were collectively known as the railroad tax cases, kicked up from the Ninth Circuit by Stephen J. Field when he was on the Supreme Court, and also back in those days, the Supreme Court justices also rode the circuit. And so he was the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals judge. He ruled in favor. He said corporations are persons, too. They have rights under the Constitution. Well, no, they're not alive. No, they don't eat and breathe and drink and whatnot. They don't reproduce. They can't get married. They don't vote. But we're going to call them persons anyway and give them rights under the Constitution. And this got before the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, according to history, said, okay, in 1886, corporations are persons. In fact, it didn't happen. A story you can read about in my book, Unequal Protection, or What Would Jefferson Do? It's in both those books. For that matter, it's in We the People as well, all three of those books that I've written. But even though it didn't legally happen, it has become doctrine and law in the United States, and there are communities across the United States working to reverse this. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, the oldest women's rights group in the United States, founded by Jane Addams, two of their past presidents, Nobel Prize winners, WILPF.org on the web. They have declared a three-year campaign to abolish corporate personhood. The Alliance for Democracy, Ronnie Duggar's old group, the group that Cliff Arnebeck is with, the lawyer who is suing in Ohio, just sued George Bush yesterday for election fraud. They've declared a campaign against corporate personhood. CELDEF, the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, Thomas Lindsay and his friends, they have declared a campaign against corporate personhood. And the POCLAD, the Program on Corporations, Law, and Democracy, POCLAD, has declared a campaign against corporate personhood. And around the country, there are individuals who are working on this as well, individual people who are working on this. And I'm very pleased and honored to have on the line with us today Susan DeLaverne, who is out of Portland, Oregon, and working on this issue. Right, Susan?
Yes, we are.
Hey.
But I'm not doing it alone.
And you're not doing it alone. Well, that's what I wanted you to talk about. People hear me rant about this regularly on this program, and I think a lot of folks are left with the what can I do? And so tell us how did this happen? You've got a group of people there in Portland who are working on this. You're involved with this. Tell us the story of how this came about.
Well, actually, you started it. You came to Portland in September and gave a talk at the First Unitarian Church there that got a lot of people energized about this subject.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we established a study group. We spent about 4 weeks with a relatively small group looking at the issue itself, kind of examining it from all angles, historical, current, and other.
Uh-huh.
And from there, we launched a much larger group, which now is probably has a total count of maybe close to 100 people.
Wow.
Who are meeting monthly. The whole group meets monthly. Then we have a steering group that meets every 2 weeks. And we've organized this group into 5 different committees to try to drive this issue, raising awareness in particular, in a number of different ways. So we have a media group. We have an education and outreach group. We have a future vision group, a group that's actually looking at where is this headed.
Yeah.
We have another one called a resolution group, looking at what other areas have done about drafting non-binding resolutions can borrow the work of others.
Yeah, as was started by Point Arena, California, back in, 2001, 2002, when they finally passed.
Yep, and that's one of the areas we're talking to.
Yep.
Another group, which we decided to call Other, because there were so many things that were related topics, like voter fraud and campaign finance reform. So they're looking at more specific topics that connect to this corporate personhood issue.
Right, right. That's great. That is absolutely extraordinary. First of all, are you working on a resolution or are you working on an ordinance? Are you trying to do it for the city of Portland? Or are you looking at the county that you're in, or are you looking at the state level? What are your goals here?
It's probably too soon to answer that question. One thing I want to be sure to say is that we are just in the getting started phase.
Mm-hmm.
So the resolution group is now looking at what resolutions have been drafted elsewhere, trying to understand the language, the direction, and the scope, and then they're going to they're going to more or less answer the question you just asked.
Yeah, so I assume you're talking to Jan Edwards and Bill Myers down in Point Arena?
Yes.
Yeah, they're absolutely great people, and Molly Morgan there's a woman in San Francisco who's very involved in this. Her name is escaping me at the moment. But a bunch of fine people out there on the West Coast who are working on this stuff. So for our listeners, just to inform people, basically, if we want to roll back corporate personhood, there are a couple of kind of legal technical ways to go about it. One is to pass laws against it. And in fact, now almost 100 communities in Pennsylvania have passed laws so far. With the help of the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, CELDEF, against corporate personhood explicitly. But most of them have been around specific issues. In other words, you can't cite a corporate hog farm in this community because you're a corporation. Or you can't cite a toxic waste incinerator. You can't put sludge on the land here because we're not acknowledging that a corporation has the rights to do these things. So there's that. The state of Nebraska has for years had a constitutional amendment which was passed by citizen action. This was a citizen initiative that was passed. It was not passed by the legislature, but the citizens of the state of Nebraska actually amended their own constitution to say that corporations could not own farms. And this was part of the kind of the Willie Nelson era trying to save the family farm, and it's been quite useful. And this is now under assault. The corporate forces are taking that on. And There are those efforts. There are essentially legislative efforts, whether they be local, community, or statewide. And then secondly, there are the judicial efforts. We tried to, I shouldn't say we so broadly, Jeff Milchen, Mark Kasky. Jeff is with the ReclaimDemocracy.org. When the Kasky versus Nike case went before the Supreme Court, I collaborated to some small extent. We tried to get some language in the amicus brief that we filed with the court to point out to Rehnquist that back in the Boston versus Bilotti case, when he had said back in 1886 this court ruled that corporations are persons, that he was wrong, that it hadn't happened, because he was complaining about it. He thought it was a bad thing. To inform the court, to try and raise the awareness of this. And so there's a lot of folks who are looking for a case that can be brought before the Supreme Court that might flip this thing. But I think the broad consensus is that before either one of those strategies, the legislative strategy or the judicial strategy, will be successful, there has to be a lot of grassroots organizing, just like before you know, Roe v. Wade, before women gained the right access to the Fourth Amendment, the right to privacy, overturning that 1873 case, before Brown versus Board of Education in 1954, overturning Plessy versus Ferguson back in 1896, that before these things happened, there was a lot of public education going on. And that's so important. And that's where resolutions come in. A resolution is where you simply have a local political body say, we believe that corporations should not be considered persons in our community. It doesn't have the force of law, but it's a statement. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that you're looking at all three of those things, Susan.
Yes, we are. And I think we have a whole group, as I mentioned, that's called Education and Outreach. And really, that's the idea is to raise awareness in the community among people everywhere, because if we want to put forth legislation, we have to have made sure that this topic, this concept, lands with people.
Right.
They understand why it's important. One of the things I notice about discussing corporate personhood with people, though, is that it tends not to be a very polarizing message.
Yeah.
And people of all persuasions don't want to be dominated by corporations.
Yeah, whether they're liberal or conservative, whether they're you know, whatever. It's
exactly.
Whatever they call themselves. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think part of what we're going to be doing in the education and outreach group is setting up education classes to take to colleges and church communities. And by the way, they're planning to use your book, We the People, as the text for this.
We the People or Unequal Protection?
No, We the People.
Oh, the comic book.
The idea was that it connects really well with people. It's an easy read in a lot of ways.
And it tells the story, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. That's great.
So that's the plan.
That's great. I'm impressed. And when you sit down with, I mean, how do you broach the subject with people? How do you get into the door?
Well, you know, one of our to-dos on our list is to develop our elevator speech
uh-huh.
to make sure that we all consistently have the same attention getters.
Yeah, I'm
a writer. I've written about this subject, and one of the things that I usually say is that corporations tend to dominate our landscape in a lot of different ways, and this is how they've entrenched themselves. But historically, here's how they used to behave, and we need to return to that.
Yeah, and corporations were doing just fine back then when they weren't persons. You could make money. Corporations were growing. You could be successful. This is really about the power of a corporation to corrupt we the people, to corrupt government.
Corporations have changed their emphasis from being, you know, once upon a time corporations had primarily a purpose and secondarily a profit.
That's right.
Now it's the other way around.
That's right. Profit has become the purpose.
Right.
Yeah, this is very
and that's part of that's a dangerous part of this equation.
Yeah. Well, Susan De Laverne, is there a way that folks can reach you if they want more information, or should they just contact us and we'll pass it along? Or do you folks have a website or anything yet?
I will point you to a webpage, which is part of the Alliance for Democracy website.
Mm-hmm.
So it's www.afd-pdx.org. And at the bottom of that page, there's a giant window that talks about corporate personhood.
Okay, so it's the Alliance for Democracy, AFD-PDX, which is short for it's the airport identifier for Portland, Oregon. Great. Susan De Laverne, Susan, will you keep us up to date on the program? Let us know whenever anything happens, and we'll get you back on. You can tell us how it's going, and we can help inform people about what they can be doing in their communities and mentor them, tutor them in the process. Thanks so much for being with us today, Susan. I do appreciate it. And good luck. I mean, keep up the great work and give my very best to everyone there. Thanks so much. 20 minutes past the hour. It's Tom Hartman with you.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission.
Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
This year, give a Christmas gift of inner peace, mental health, and transformation in the form of a fun, beautiful game you play with your body and brain based on meditation, breathing, and biofeedback. Go to opednews.com to click on the Wild Divine banner to order the game that Yoga Journal says turns the quest for calm into entertainment. In most games, you find weapons. With Wild Divine, you connect your computer to your body and play the game with your mind, heart, and breath. You find new abilities and awareness truly within yourself that you use to win the game and then apply in your real life. PC Magazine says Wild Divine is innovative and fun, and even better, it's very effective. And they give it 5 stars. It's shipped with both Windows and Mac software.
The Wild Divine game is a great Christmas gift that will make a real difference in a person's life. Go to opednews.com now and click on the Wild Divine banner to order it in time for Christmas. That's opednews.com. If you sell a product or service, we have listeners from coast to coast and in 97 countries who want to know about you. Reach out to our national audience with our small business advertising package. You'll pay just a fraction of what national advertising usually costs. Call now at 802-229-2288 or visit our website, tomhartman.com, and follow the links to the small business advertising package for more information. Don't miss reaching a national audience now. 802-229-2288. Do you have a child with ADHD who is misunderstood, unhappy, and dissatisfied with school? Are you ready for an educational change and for your child to like school again? Consider The Hunter School, a residential K-8 school specializing in the education of children with ADHD, hunters in a farmer's world. Hunter School appreciates and honors the uniqueness of each student while building upon his inherent strengths and abilities. For more information, find us on the web at hunterschool.org.
How can there be hope when millions starve in a world of plenty? How can there be justice when the rich parade their wealth before the poor? How can there be peace when each man is his neighbor's enemy? In a world of chaos, peace is possible, but only if we address the root causes of our global crisis, poverty, hunger, and despair. We must share the world's resources to create justice. Without justice, there can be no peace. Fortunately, we're not alone in our efforts. According to futurist Benjamin Krem, a group of enlightened teachers led by Maitreya, the world teacher, is here to inspire a new approach based on the principle of sharing. With their guidance, we can transform the world and create a peaceful future for all. For a free audio CD of an extraordinary lecture by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of the teachers, call toll-free 888-242-8272. Again, that's 888-242-8272.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
People try to put us to down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Well, you've been wondering what happened to all that stimulus, that economic stimulus that was going to happen from the tax cuts for the rich. Welcome back, by the way. Tom Hartman here with you. TomHartman.com, our website. If you want to drop into the chat room, listen to archives, visit our message boards, read my rants, generally say hi, argue, whatever. And 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, if you'd like to be on the program, put in your 2 cents worth. Anyhow, the question, what happened to all that money? George W. Bush defied common sense and historic wisdom. The common sense and historic wisdom is that if you want to stimulate the economy quickly, you give money to poor people and working people because they will spend it. And when they spend it, it, you know, it immediately gets into the economy. And as a result of that, gets out there and people start saying, hey, there's demand here that people want to buy whatever it is and this, that, and the other thing. So let's make things to sell to them. And people start making things and selling to them, and boom, you've got an economy that's growing. And, you know, Franklin Roosevelt did this. He said, hey, we've got, you know, 25% unemployment. Let's put these people back to work. Well, there was no jobs because nobody was buying anything because everybody was unemployed. It's that vicious cycle. So how do you break out of the cycle? Created the Works Progress Administration, the WPA, said, okay, we're going to hire people to build bridges, to do artwork, to take pictures, to whatever. I mean, right across it, we're going to hire everybody. We're going to hire artists. We're going to hire construction workers. We're going to hire accountants. We're going to figure out a way to hire anybody who wants to work. And we're going to plant trees in national forests. We're going to do all this stuff. And we, the government, we the people, will be the employer of last resort. And these people then will get a paycheck from the government, and they will spend that paycheck in the economy, which will then create demand for goods and services, which will then cause entrepreneurs to come in and say, hey, I can make some money here, and which will then cause them to hire people so that the government can get out of the business of being the employer of all these people. And it worked. It brought us out of the Great Depression. So George Bush says, as did Ronald Reagan before him, and it didn't work for Reagan either, by the way. But, you know, Bush, one of the hallmarks of George W. Bush is not learning from previous mistakes or experience. George W. Bush said, well, how about instead of giving that money to poor people and working people, we give it to the wealthy people? And so they'll just build factories and hire people. Now, having built businesses and having hired people in my life, I can tell you that I never did it because I had money in my pocket. I did it because I thought I had a product or service that somebody wanted to buy or an idea for one. I mean, this is just totally backwards logic. Yes, let's give, you know, tax. In fact, I even heard on one of these con talk shows, one of these right-wing talk shows, somebody say, well, I've never heard of anybody being hired by a poor person. Well, as a matter of fact, I think most entrepreneurs are middle class, as it were, the vast majority of them. The average paycheck that an entrepreneur in America takes, the owner of a small business takes, is around $65,000. But in any case, Bush says, well, let's give this money to the hyper wealthy, to the Bush Empire, the Bush family, the Cheney family, the multimillionaires among us. Well, here now we find out what has happened. Already depressed by the nation's huge budget and trade deficits, the U.S. dollar is now being undermined by American mutual fund investors. More of them are funneling money into foreign stock funds, a shift that hurts the greenback. What are these folks doing with their tax cuts? You'll keep in mind the small amount that everybody got, you know, that $300 check, that was Bernie Sanders. Congressman Bernie Sanders forced that through. Push that, you know, down the throat of George W. But where are the wealthy of America putting their money? They're putting it in Japan. They're putting it in Germany. They're putting it in Thailand. They're putting it in China. They're putting it in India. Net U.S. cash flow inflows to stock funds that invest overseas soared to a record $79.7 billion in the first 10 months of this year, compared to $47 billion for all of last year. Welcome to Bushonomics.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please hang up.
Having a hard time connecting with someone who cares? Try the Boys Town National Hotline at 1-800-448-3000. They'll be there to help you when you need it the most, 24 hours a day. They'll even pay for the call. Simply call 1-800-448-3000.
Boys Town National Hotline. How can I help?
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. I'm Rebecca Jameson.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Yesterday, the California Nurses Association filed a lawsuit against Arnold Schwarzenegger. The governor suspended a new nurse-to-patient staffing requirement set to take effect next week. The lawsuit claims Schwarzenegger illegally overstepped his authority by issuing an emergency block on a state legislature bill passed in 1999 mandating a 1-to-5 nurse-to-patient ratio. Charles Idelson is a spokesperson for the CNA.
He did that order at the specific request of the state's multi-billion dollar hospital industry and ignored all of the evidence that is already in that having safe care in hospitals reduces patient deaths, hospital infections, hospital injuries, and helps erode the nursing shortage.
On December 7th, Schwarzenegger called the nurses, quote, special interests, whom he said, quote, don't like me in Sacramento because I kick their butt.
AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says as 2004 draws to a close, working families are being squeezed as never before, losing good jobs, pensions, and health insurance. AFL-CIO has joined a coalition to save Social Security to make sure working families don't lose the one thing they've been guaranteed. Sweeney says President Bush wants to divert 1/6 of Social Security revenues into Wall Street in his privatization plan. Walmart has snagged Grinch of the Year in a national online poll by Jobs with Justice. The labor group says Walmart deserves its title of Grinch of the Year for paying very low wages, creating barriers to health care for its workers, and other transgressions. Jobs with Justice says Walmart has also admitted routinely locking overnight workers in its stores and was sued this year in the largest sex discrimination suit in history, a class action on behalf of roughly 1.6 million current and former employees. The national poll was held December 6th through the 22nd by Jobs with Justice. Over 1,000 workers have decided to join the Teamsters in several organizing victories. 502 drivers at Laidlaw Transit Services elected Teamster representation in Orange County, California. In Illinois, 420 workers at the Berwyn Juvenile Temporary Detention Center also voted to join the Teamsters. Another 60 workers at Allied Waste, BFI, in Mobile, Alabama, and 50 drivers and dock workers in Richmond, Virginia, also joined the Teamster ranks.
Here's today's Workers Independent News Dow Bob Report. Why is President Bush claiming the Social Security sky is falling? Bush is pushing to privatize Social Security, but according to the Campaign for America's Future, privatization would drain the current trust fund, cut benefits workers receive, and give early retirees less than they get now. Social Security is solvent until the year 2042, according to its trustees, or the year 2052, according to the General Accounting Office. After that, there's still expected to be money left to pay the nation 75% of their benefits.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live on radio stations from California to West Virginia, beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite system, streaming around the planet on radiopower.org, with archives at whiterosesociety.org and tomhartman.com. What's going on with the recount? William Rivers Pitt is one of the great investigative reporters of our day. Writes regularly for truthout.org. Just an extraordinary guy, an extraordinary writer, and a brilliant reporter. And I am so pleased to have you with us, Will. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
How you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. I understand you've got some news about what's going on with John Kerry and Triad Systems and all this stuff.
Well, give me 5 seconds, and I will just read you the thing that we published a little while ago. Hang on.
Is this the one that starts out, 2004 Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry will file today?
In the United States District Court for the Southern District of Ohio, papers in support of the Green Party Libertarian Party recount effort.
Okay. Has he done it?
Well, you know what? One of the things that I'm trying to run down right now is that we just got word that all of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Ohio courthouses are closed due to inclement weather.
Oh, interesting.
If you can, you know, the timing is just marvelous. But So I'm waiting to hear... if they're still able to file, if they can still get to the clerks or file electronically, even with the courthouses closed.
But so you have verified that Kerry is, in fact, going to jump into this thing and file papers in support of the Green and Libertarian recount effort.
Specifically, what he's filing is a request for expedited discovery regarding Triad, the voting machine guys, as well as a motion for preservation, order to protect any discovery and preserve any evidence. So what he's reaching out to do here is freeze the machines.
Amazing.
He's not fully and completely jumping into, he's not 100% into the recount effort,
right?
But he's throwing his weight behind this specific aspect to freeze the evidence.
That's great. Now give our listeners a little bit of background here. Triad Systems, what's the situation?
Triad Systems is one of the companies that put their electronic machines are all over Ohio. They are pretty much the big dog in Ohio as far as voting machines go. They're in most of the counties. And Cheryl Eaton, who is the Deputy Director of Elections for Hocking County, put out an affidavit last week, which we published, that said that she witnessed a Triad representative screwing around with the machines. Representative Conyers has since asked for an investigation into this from the FBI and the Hocking County prosecutor, because this representative screwing around with the machines and quote-unquote trying to make a recount easier is actually completely interfering with any recount that's
possible.
And
it's illegal, too, isn't it? I mean, isn't this against the law?
It's pretty flat-out illegal. So that was last week. Now this morning we had Kerry getting into the game. What we are about to release right now, which we got a hold of yesterday, is videotape. There was a documentary film crew in Hocking County as all of this was unfolding, and got this Triad representative on camera talking about, you know, exactly what he was doing and talking about how he's doing it in five or six other counties.
Taking apart the machines and putting them back together.
Just messing around with them, trying to make it smoother, trying to make it easier. You know, you can look at it one of two ways. Either it's full-on nefarious, you know, evil conspiracy crap, or it's some guy from a company trying to cover up the mistakes his company made with the voting machines.
Or there's a third option. We're talking with William Rivers Pitt of truthout.org, one of America's great crusading investigative reporters. If you don't mind my characterizing you as that, do you disagree?
Whatever you say, man.
I mean, maybe you've got some other gig that I don't know about, but the work you do for Truth Out is just so cool. I am such a fan of your work. Anyhow, here's the story that I've heard from Triad, and that is that when a recount is done on a particular race, that the recounters don't want to know about the dog catcher race. They don't want to know about the local county sheriff race. They don't want to know about the state senator race. They only want to know about that one particular race that you're looking at, in this case the presidential race. And so rather than having the machine spit out thousands and thousands of pages of paper, reams and reams of paper that includes all this other stuff, they have to go in and reprogram the machine so that it only spits out that one field in the database, that being the presidential election, and that is what they were doing. This is what I've heard them, you know, say that's what they're up to. Now, can you discredit that?
And this is sort of the larger problem with having these, you know, relatively complicated machines in the voting booths, is that the election officials, 99% of the election officials, you know, don't know exactly what these people are doing. They don't know how the machines work. And if you don't know how the machines work, you can't eyeball it to make sure that the person is doing what they said that they're doing.
Right. And these are paperless machines, right?
If these guys are, I believe that these are the optical scanner machines.
Uh-huh.
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay.
The guy could say that he's, you know, I'm just making sure that everything's fine. And if his company has made a grievous error, if there's a grievous error in the machine, and he's going to fix it to cover up any, you know, problems that might occur with his company, the election official is none the wiser.
Right.
Coupled with the fact, as Conyers has raised repeatedly, the simple fact that these guys are going in and screwing around with the machines at all is getting in the way of the recount process. There are official channels to be done. There are official channels to be followed in the process. And these guys are not they're not elected or anointed election officials. They're private, you know, they're representatives of a private company. They should not be the ones handling these machines in a recount situation.
So you, William Rivers Pitt, and apparently John Kerry as well, and John Conyers are suggesting that this may well not be a legitimate interference with the vote count.
Conyers is very adamant that either intentionally or unintentionally, this was very serious interference with the recount process.
Yeah, yeah. This is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. And is there any indication that other than, you know, maybe a company trying to do a little CYA, that this might have to do with vote fraud itself?
Well, you know what? It's the concept of vote fraud is in of itself a rather interesting process. If you recall, there were people in another county, the name, I think it was Greene County.
Uh-huh.
Two people were attempting to compare who actually showed up to vote to the voter rolls to see if anybody got disenfranchised. Blackwell stepped in and stopped them from being able to do that and actually took the books right out of their hands. If you look at black letter Ohio election law,
yeah,
getting in the way of any public analysis of public election records, in the words of the actual black letter law, is prima facie voter fraud, election fraud.
So Blackwell has committed election fraud already in this
grievously
in this thing,
on a number, you know, in a couple of different areas. And of course, we're back to the big problem we have in this country, which is who's policing the police. You know,
yeah, and he's
going to go. I mean, is Ashcroft or Gonzalez going to go in and jump up and down on top of Blackwell? I doubt it.
Right. And when Blackwell, when somebody came to Blackwell before the election and said, you know, if you end up like Catherine Harris, you don't want that, do you? And he smiled and he said, well, Catherine Harris got a seat in Congress, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's still hoping for his payoff in the next election cycle, but. This is incredible. But here, one last question. I know you've got to get going there, but one last question. We know that ES&S, the founders anyway, of the company that became ES&S, have a very clear political agenda. We know that Wally O'Dell, the CEO of Diebold, is openly partisan, in both cases conservatives. You know, we know about the brothers. One's the CEO of one of these companies. The other's the vice president of another one of the companies. Does Triad, which is the company that is messing with the machines in Ohio, does Triad have any history of political activity or involvement or affiliation?
Yes, they do. They've donated to the Republican Party.
Exclusively?
Not as much as Diebold. Diebold is the grand bull moose gold medal winner in donations to the Republican Party. They've given hundreds of thousands of dollars. But Todd Rapp, who basically was the founder of the company, is a supporter of the Republican Party and has donated to that party.
Remarkable. Remarkable.
It's just, yeah, I mean, it makes me want to. One of the things that I am attempting to emphasize as often as possible is that this is not a partisan political issue. You know, you have those stories of the old man with the IV who was getting chemotherapy standing in line for hours because he couldn't get an absentee ballot in Ohio and wasn't able to vote. The woman who would have been fired from her job if she had waited in line because there weren't enough machines at these various polling places. The sacrosanct right to vote is as important as anything we're dealing with. It's the seed corn,
yeah,
of democracy, and it is not a partisan issue. If we privatize the vote, if we put the vote in the hands of private companies, I don't care if they're given to the Republican Party, to the Democratic Party, to the Green Party, to the beer party, whatever. You cannot have private corporations giving money to whatever parties who are ultimately responsible for the tallying and collection of votes in this country. It is, on its face, a recipe for disaster and the end of participatory democracy.
Yeah, this is just absolutely wrong. This is the ultimate felony against democracy. The vote is the beating heart of democracy, and this is the ultimate felony.
And it is not a partisan issue.
Yeah.
It can't be.
Yeah,
if it's
well
a partisan
said.
Issue, it completely derails the most fundamental aspect of this.
So, William Rivers Pitt, when are you going to be writing about this on truthout.org, do you expect?
Well, we have the report up on Truthout right now of Kerry's filing of these documents. I'm working right now to find out what the deal is with the weather,
uh-huh,
see if he was able to file despite the fact that these things were closed.
Right.
And if he wasn't able to do it, then that just means he's going to do it on Monday.
Yeah, okay.
And you know what? It's not the end of the world, or he'll do it tomorrow. I don't know if they're going to be open on Christmas Eve. I would doubt it.
Yeah.
But one way or another, this is going to get these petitions are going to get filed.
Yeah, they won't be open on Christmas Eve. They won't be open on Christmas Eve because
right,
Christmas is a federal holiday, you know. And
if it doesn't happen today because of the weather, it'll happen the moment the doors open. And what's interesting about this, the most important part of this, is that where the Green and Libertarian parties have stumbled in their process of trying to secure this stuff and put these emergency motions on is that you have to meet two criteria to be able to successfully do it. The first one is a demonstration of irreparable harm, and the second is evidence of a good chance of success in your motion based upon the merits.
Mm-hmm.
They've been able to prove the irreparable harm aspect of it, but in terms of the success on the merits, they haven't been able to do it because 1,000 recounts aren't going to give Ohio to the Green Party or the Libertarian Party. Kerry's entrance into this establishes that second criteria,
right?
Because a successful recount could very well deliver Ohio to John Kerry, because he lost by a statistical whisker. He meets that requirement for success based upon the merits.
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would be ridiculous. I hope everyone listening to the sound of your voice and my voice is planning on taking a trip to Washington on the 6th.
In fact, just very quickly, I know you had to go, and I don't want to keep you too long. But what should we be doing? What should we, the people, the folks who are listening to this program right now, what can they do? What can we do?
The best thing that you folks can do, one of the things that I found out is that the email, letter, and telephone campaigns being done by activists to get a senator to do what was not done in 2000, remember that scene
right.
of Fahrenheit 9/11 with the Congressional Black Caucus flapping in the wind?
Yep, yep.
Because no senator would stand up with them.
Including Al Gore, yep.
Well, to a certain extent, Al Gore couldn't be the one to do it in the same way that I don't think that John Kerry is going to be the one to do it.
Yeah, I mean, he legally could have been because he was president of the Senate, but for political
reasons, it couldn't have been him.
Right, yeah.
You know, and it can't be Kerry. But there, I will say this much, and I can't really get into the details. The campaign to get senators to stand up and address this issue and do what they did not do in 2000 has been very, very, very effective.
That's great. I understand that Barbara Boxer just said that she wouldn't do it, and so a lot of folks are saying, well, let's work on Robert Byrd because he's a fearless guy.
I cannot give you the names of the senators who are interested in this,
uh-huh.
but they're out there, and they're the
yeah.
ones that you might possibly think that they are, and it doesn't matter. Broad spectrum bombardment. Keep doing what
yeah.
you're doing, folks, because it is having an effect, and if we keep it up, we will get where we want to get.
Yeah, whoever your senator may be, whoever your member of senators are who you want to reach. And here's the number to call Congress. It's area code
20. Mr. Harmon, I have to jump off. I have
yeah.
a phone call coming.
Okay, go for it. Will Pitt, thank you very much for being with us. Truthout.org, William Rivers Pitt. Great writing, I do appreciate your work. Congress, the area code 202, the telephone number, area code 202-224-3121. That gets you to the main switchboard for Congress, for the House and Senate, and you can simply ask for your senator, ask for your senator's office, and then say, you know, I would like you to participate in some way in promoting a challenge to this election, not so much to try and change the election. This isn't about changing the election. It's about exposing fraud if it exists, or proving to us that there's no fraud and that we have nothing to worry about. This is the thing that, frankly, that completely baffles me. Congressman Rush Holt introduced a bill into the House, and Hillary Clinton introduced a bill into the Senate. It was essentially the same piece of legislation, which said that a paperless voting machine must produce a paper ballot. In other words, you go in and you vote on a machine. You push the buttons you want. It spits out a piece of paper that you can hold in your hand and look at and say, and it says you voted for this person and this person and this person and this person. And then you can drop that piece of paper in the box after you've looked at it and confirmed that it says what it says. You drop that in the box, and that becomes, that's the actual ballot. And that becomes available in the event that there's a recount. What's wrong with this? You know, this is a very simple thing. This is a very straightforward, and you've got companies like Diebold who wouldn't imagine manufacturing an ATM machine, which is their main business, without putting paper receipts on them. I mean, you get $200 out of your ATM machine, you get a receipt. You make a deposit, you get a receipt. And they're saying, well, you know, it's going to be too much hassle. It's going to be too expensive to make a voting machine with a receipt. Say, what? And we're finding all these errors. When was the last time you had an error on your Diebold ATM machine? What's wrong with this picture? And why is it that virtually all the Democrats in the House of Representatives and in the Senate have signed on for these bills, and a few Republicans, but not enough? Why is it that the Republican leadership, Bill Frist and Denny Hastert, and Tom DeLay have refused to allow these bills even to come up for discussion? 10 minutes before the hour.
My name is Veronique Raskin. I founded the Organic Wine Company 25 years ago. If you love wine and have not tried our French wines, you are in for a treat. Nowadays, people everywhere are buying organic fruits and vegetables because they know they taste better. Organic grapes are so luscious. When turned into wine, you can really taste the difference with every sip. So our wines are delicious and eco-friendly. So I want to make it easy for you to try them out. Call me right away at 1-888-ECO-WINE and I will send you three of my favorite organically grown French wines at half off the regular price. That's just $25 plus shipping. Isn't that magnifique? I think so. If you don't share my enthusiasm, I'll gladly refund your money. So take me up on my offer and call me at 1-888-ECO-WINE. ECOWINE. Au revoir.
Real novelists don't go to graduate school, they go to prison. Mike Palasek is one of America's newest, most exciting political storytellers. Palasek is a former federal prisoner for peace, county commissioner, city jail prisoner, Iowa Democratic Party candidate for Congress, football co-captain, small-town newspaper reporter, and bakery delivery truck driver. Check out www.iowapeace.com for Mike's books and read his weekly column, Is This Heaven? The View from Iowa. Go to iowapeace.com for ordering information for Twins, Joe Coffey's Revolution, KGB, The Truth, The Last Liberal Outlaw, and Prophets Without Honor. Palasek's books are recommended by Howard Zinn, Danny Schechter, BlueEar.com, The Des Moines Register, and Prisoners Everywhere.
For thousands of years, millions of people have trusted the healing power of herbs. Healing Hollers, an earth-based business in the southern Ozarks, has formulated medical herbal salves proven effective in promoting healing and providing relief for many skin conditions, including a healing salve with antiseptic and antibacterial properties to treat cuts, burns, scalds, and wounds, an antifungal salve safe and effective for athlete's foot, ringworm, nail, and other fungal infections, and a soothing calendula salve to reduce pain and inflammation from dry skin, eczema, and rashes, including diaper rash. These salves contain only herbs and roots organically grown or ethically wildcrafted natural oils and beeswax from the Ozarks. To learn more about these salves and other natural products from Healing Hollers, go to www.healing-hollers.com. That's www.healing-hollers.com.
This is a WIN feature story. I'm Sarah Turner. Last week, the City Council in Salinas, California, capped a series of contentious budget debates with a decision to close all of its public libraries next summer, becoming the largest U.S. city to do so. WIN reporter Vinny Lombardo has more.
Charles Williamson called the council action shameful and says he's worried for kids whose parents can't afford the books, videos, and computers offered at the library.
We're making them stay poor and uneducated. It's not fair. It's not right. It's not what America's about.
It's a bad time.
Salinas Mayor Ana Caballero.
Universally, it's a bad time for cities and county government in our country.
Like many small and mid-sized communities, Salinas is facing huge budget shortfalls and tough choices about which programs to axe. Over the past year, spending was cut by $8.2 million, and the city no longer pays for road repairs, trash pickup, and other services. Closing the three libraries will save about $3.5 million a year.
It's almost like amputations. We're taking apart pieces that we really should be providing.
Caballero says she's not proud of the decision to shut the libraries and blames reduced revenue and state budget takeaways. Sylvia Garcia, a Salinas librarian, doesn't think that's a good enough answer.
And because the monies have been mismanaged, the community is going to pay the price.
In last month's election, Salinas voters rejected Measures A and B, which, if passed, would have added up to $10 million annually to the general fund. Garcia says voters are being punished and wonders why the cuts weren't spread around.
There are many other departments within the city of Salinas, including fire and police, and yet the library is the one that was penalized the most.
While hiring of new police and fire personnel was put on hold, neither department experienced cuts. As for librarians, most are long-term and aren't sure what to expect after receiving their severance pay. Salinas residents will meet mid-January to discuss plans for a new tax initiative. For the Workers Independent News, I'm Vinny Lombardo.
is the Tom Hartman Program.
Merry Christmas, baby. You should just treat me nice.
And welcome back. Leproletariat in the chat room says, what happens if a senator, even just one, opposes accepting the election results? What happens? What happens is you then have a constitutional crisis. Literally, to the best of my knowledge, it's never happened before. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. What it means is that the Senate is saying that a senator is saying that they are challenging the results of the Electoral College, of the electoral vote. There are different levels of acceptance. For some things, you know, like passing budgets and things, you must have a simple majority. For other things, for example, amending the Constitution, you must have a two-thirds vote plus three-quarters of the states. To accept the vote of the electors, you must have a unanimous consent. You must have 100% of the Senate agreeing. If one single senator says, no, I'm not accepting the results of this, then at that point, the electoral vote is just thrown up into the air. And I have to do some research and find out where it goes from there. Frankly, I have to do a little homework. I'll let you know tomorrow. I'll spend this afternoon tracking down the history of that. A hand recount, 3%, the 3% test sample, Fairfield County, Ohio. 3% test sample, this by David Cobb, did not match the official vote tallies. A full recount by law should have been ordered in the state of Ohio, right? Instead, the recount was suspended by county officials who said that Secretary Blackwell recommended that the recount should begin again from scratch. So let's go look at that 3% again. The Green recount observers were told that it was 4 p.m., the building was closed, and they all had to leave. The Republican contingent, however, was allowed to stay in a conference room for an additional 10 minutes or so for a private discussion. Summit County, Ohio. Recount witnesses were threatened with expulsion if they spoke to the counting teams. In some instances, they were expected to observe from 20 feet away. Despite Ohio election law allowing observers to be close enough to actually observe. Medina County, election officials were aware of several problem districts, but instead chose to perform the manual 3% test recount on two precincts that had been part of a school levy that had been previously recounted. On and on it goes. All these, Henry County, Fulton County, Huron County, Cuyahoga County, Medina County, over and over and over again. Not just irregularities, but things that look like something is seriously being covered up here. Has a felony been committed in the state of Ohio against democracy in the United States and perhaps in other states? In New Mexico and Florida in particular as well? We'll find out. Stay tuned as time goes on. We'll see you tomorrow. Tom Hartman here with you. We'll be back on this topic and others. See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
This is Vivilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show, absolutely, without question.